Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Good evening. Welcome to this Tuesday evening edition of The Horn. I am Bob. Just Bob. Not Mr. Kincaid. Just old Bob. Just old Bob here in the hills and hollers. We're friends. No Mr. Kincaid, please. Interesting day today. Let's see. A couple of program notes. Let's get started with those and get those out of the way. I expect it's entirely possible and highly likely that Guy James will be back tomorrow. The issues that were keeping him off air, I think, have been resolved. And hopefully he will be back tomorrow and Thursday. And if not tomorrow, then certainly Thursday. So cross your fingers on that front. Secondly, it doesn't look like Ferg will be playing ball Thursday. I think his season may be pretty well over. So that means I'll likely be behind this microphone come Thursday evening. But there's a slight chance I won't be if he is cleared to play. Last game of the season, kind of want to see that, want him to be able to play in it. Tough run of luck. Started out with a possible broken elbow in the season and winded up with either the flu or mono or they're not quite sure what. Welcome to American healthcare, the land of we're not quite sure. But at any rate, there will definitely not be a show on Friday. Friday, I'm on the road. I've been invited to come down and speak at one of the PowerShift conferences, this particular one Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I will be speaking down there talking about what mountaintop removal does to communities, individuals, all of us. I'll be down there doing that, so I will be on the road on Friday. You know what? Depending on when I leave here, I've never driven to Chapel Hill. I don't know how long that schlep is. But it's entirely possible that I could get out of here early enough to maybe be in the hotel room Friday evening and take the gig rig with me and, who knows, crank it up and do one. It's possible. It could happen. No, really, it could happen. So we'll see. We'll just see how that one goes. But that gives us at least tonight and tomorrow night and probably Thursday night. So let's get lots of good conversation in. Let me address something real quick. I had a complaint last night about the way we do business here. And it was someone who sat on hold for a while and then hung up and then wrote to tell me about it. There are limitations here in this studio. One of which is that, you know, we started this whole thing out and Agnes produced and I yammered. And she answered the phones and all that stuff at the same time. But she went back, I hate that. My lovely darling wife went back into the mommy mode because it was very much needed. And that left me here to take the calls, carry on the and you know, basically produce and do it. This is not me. No, I am not crawling up on the cross. It is simply how things work here. Now, I know, and last night at one point in time, we had all six lines lit up. That is not unusual anymore. God, I can remember a time back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio when you'd sit there and just try to will one of the lights on the phone to light up. And if it did, you were just praying it wasn't some ignorant wingnut trying to spread his wingnut garbage. Because, you know, one of the things about terrestrial talk radio is the fact that unless it's somewhere in civilization like Green 960 in San Francisco or KPOJ in Portland and a small handful of others, there really hasn't been a determined presence in the terrestrial market where liberals, progressives, decent human beings, in other words, had a chance to talk about issues without being screamed down by some nutbag with the morning's talking points from the Republican National Committee. So generally, it is not unusual to see someone start into terrestrial radio and find themselves having to deal with wingnuts. And so, yeah, I would sit there and watch, and you know, it would. And truth be told, never really had much trouble getting calls, even in those early days. But at any given time, it would be some wingnut, and frankly, I don't want to waste my time on them. I don't have time for them. They are at the very least an annoyance, and moreover a waste of my energies, my oxygen, my brain cells. But anyway, we have gotten to the point where it is not unusual to see all the lines lighted up. Now, right now, there's one line lighted up. That leaves five for the rest of you. But the complaint was that, well, yeah, no, I know, Bob, you call it conversation radio, but nobody wants to wait. So, in other words, I guess what we're saying is that, well, here, let me see if I can dig this thing up. Because better than paraphrasing is the real thing at any given time. Oh, it's down here somewhere. Takes me just a minute. You should see that, God, the email that comes in. Here it is. I waited through one call, then another, and maybe another. I lost count. Each of them conversation long. I held that phone to my ear for well more than an hour, and then I simply had to hang up. Person goes on and says, then I realize why so few folks call you. No one can get in. You want it to be conversation radio, but your callers know how to crowd the lines up when you start, and no one else is going to get much get in until those four or five get done. I like these folks, Bob, but you're asking why more folks don't contribute. I don't know, except for myself. But after my frustration today, trying my best to contribute a unique first-person perspective, I wonder if in some small part it has something to do with the fact that they just can't get through to you to have a conversation. Well, lots of people did get through last night. Lots of people get through every night. But we do deal with limitations here in this studio. I remind this individual and others that this is a volunteer effort on the part of every single person associated with this organization. From Bossman Wayne, who volunteered his finances and who continues to volunteer his time to take care of the business end of things, to me, to, in her own way, Agnes, to John, to Ben, to Peter, to the News Ninjas, Gene and Susan, to Lottie, to, oh my God, Sue, ELO, in the chat room, who does so much more as well. Rick Smith, Rick Goodner, and those who have come and gone over the years. Every single person associated with this has been a volunteer. Now, someday when we get to the full funding level, we will hire someone. And that someone will sit and actually answer the phones. You know, Ferg did it for a little while. But you know what? It's not easy. Just to sit there and wait. No, it's not easy. If you were dealing with terrestrial radio, you would be met with, what's your name? Where are you from? What's your topic? And then you would go into a queue. And if whoever you were trying to get on the air with didn't want to talk about your topic, you wouldn't be gotten to. At all. Period. That is the norm. Now, I saw some of the juvenile hissy fit throwing in the chat room last night, and I didn't like it a bit. Because, you know, I do watch the chat room while I'm behind the microphone here. And I can't believe I'm sitting here giving a tighten-up speech. But this is what it is, and this is conversation radio. And it is free form and free for all. And there isn't a screener here to see who's got what and who goes when. Phone rings, phone goes on hold, phone rings again, next call goes on hold, and I could, you know what, maybe what I need to do is get all six lines lighted and show you how this thing works, because what it is, when a phone call comes in, I have no idea who it is. But the one thing I do know is the order in which they have come in. Because, for instance, when the phone rings, it doesn't ring, it blinks, and it blinks green. And you push the button, and it blinks green and amber, green and amber, green and amber. Okay? When another line goes on hold, it blinks. But the call that is next in the queue always blinks green. Amber, green, where the rest of them just blink the same color. So you always know which call came in order. And that's what I deal with here. So if any of you ever experience that frustration, I apologize. But you know what? I'm not going to hustle somebody through a call in the hopes of getting to the next one. Because I don't have a screener here to tell me, oh, well, you know, this caller's really on topic. I pride myself in the fact that I think I am generally competent enough to field a call on any topic at any time. If you pay attention to right-wing talk radio, you'll notice that the only people who get through are the people who are talking on the topic that the host wants to talk about, because that's what the right-winger has prepared for that day, and that's what the right-winger has a stack of notes from the Republican National Committee, the Heritage Foundation, what the hell ever. And that's the only thing they're prepared to talk about that day. We approach this from a decidedly different point of view. Everyone that I know that's ever been associated with this effort, whether it's me, Guy, John, back in the day, Joe Vecchio, Peter Godbold, Ricks, any one of them are well-rounded enough to be able to field something on the fly and have an intelligent, amiable conversation about it. Because at the base level, this is about you. That's all I can say. I have my own stuff to blather about, and I got a stack of them tonight. I'll probably get to 3 out of 12. That's usually about the case. But I'll be damned if I'm going to monologue at you and preach at you and carry on like what you have to say doesn't matter. What you have to say does matter. Very much so. And I want you to have that say. But we're not going to turn this into a popularity contest where we start voting on callers inside the chat room. Thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether Bob should hustle that caller off the air. Because somebody decided that that wasn't what they wanted to talk about. I do this the only fair way that I can imagine to do it. Line up, and we will go through the line as it happens, one by one by one, and I'll be damned if anybody is going to be hustled off the air. Because if you want people to be hustled off the air, tune in to Terrestrial Radio, and you'll hear, hey, got 30 seconds, get it said, gotta take a break, gotta sell some Preparation H here in about 15 seconds. We got a national availability coming up, and you're not talking yet. Too bad. Call in some other time. Now, there are nights when the lines are still lit up when we close the program, and I apologize for that. But we're not at a place yet where I'm ready to go and do 4 or 5 or 6 hours, although don't think for a minute that I haven't contemplated doing that. I'm capable of it. But one of the things that operates behind this whole idea is that we get past the narcissism of me, 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 and start listening to each other for a change. And that does not mean listening to me. That means hearing what other people have to say. So I hope this clears some of it up. If you've ever wondered, you know, how does Bob choose who goes on the air next? Here's a hint. He doesn't. You get in line. And we take him as we get him. That's about as simple as we can make it. Okay? So before we do go to the phones, a couple more updates. I have told you about brighterplanet.com and the grant application there for $5,000 for what is called the Sustainable Energy and Economic Diversification in the Coal River Valley Project. A lot of you have gone and voted in that. And it's gone back and forth between the Green Light 15, 1.5 million project reducing carbon and building community in New Orleans, another needful community, and our own sustainable energy and economic diversification in the Coal River Valley project. Right now, we are in the lead with a small margin of 68 votes. Voting closes on the 15th. That's when it ends. A lot of you have already gone and voted. If you have not, however, before the 15th, I encourage you, because this doesn't cost anything, I urge you, because it's the right thing to do, and I implore you, because it is so desperately needed, this kind of help in southern West Virginia, to go to brighterplanet.com, brighterplanet, BRIGHTERPLANET.com, brighterplanet.com, click on the Project Fund tab, register. I registered. I haven't been spammed or anything, so I think it's safe. It appears to be safe. It's a good org. It's a good little website. Register. You get 3 votes. Use those 3 votes for sustainable energy and economic diversification in the Coal River Valley. Please. And tell your friends. Send an email around. This doesn't cost you anything but a couple of minutes of your time. And it can literally mean a world of difference in the transition away from what is killing southern West Virginia to what can actually save it, sustain it, and return it to some semblance of normalcy and viability. Remember that hope thing we all talked about a few months back? Yeah, that. That's what it means. Brighterplanet.com, Project Fund, Sustainable Energy and Economic Diversification in the Coal River Valley. Put it way out front, please. Put it way out front where nobody else can catch up. It's a $5,000 grant that's badly needed. I sure would love to just refresh the page and see that it's made some kind of a difference. And I know, trusting you, that you will try to make that difference if you haven't already. So thank you. You know what happened in the Senate today. You know, it's funny, after... I refuse to believe that Representative Alan Grayson didn't have something to do with what happened in the Senate today. I saw Charles Grassley appearing on the television saying, "Well, I didn't really know which way Senator Snow was going to vote." Really? You're the ranking member, ranking minority member of that committee, and you didn't know what your vote count was going to be? Kind of unusual. But I got to think maybe Representative Alan Grayson, in that speech a couple of nights ago, when he said, "We have spent 6 months trying to convince Olympia Snow, a senator who represents one half of 1% of the population of this country, to get behind something that the country desperately needs." I think Representative Alan Grayson actually shamed Olympia Snow into voting for that bill coming out of the Finance Committee. Granted, it is far from perfect. It's not even something that you would want to describe in the same ballpark, county, state, or nation as perfect. But now it can be the other bill coming out of Senator Harkin's committee, the two can be merged, and perhaps we can get just that little scrap, that little crumb thrown to us in the form of a public option. Maybe it's got a shot in the Senate. Maybe. And Lord, you would think that there was blood on the floor to hear the right-wing media and the right-wing blatherskates and the right-wing gas bags howling about this. I think if Rush Limbaugh could, he'd probably go to Maine and just strangle Olympia Snow. Or go to Washington, that's where she is. If he could sober up long enough to do it, you know, junkie that he is. It remains to be seen what will happen now. But we know there will be a public option in the bill that comes out of the House and goes to conference. And we know one of the two bills in the Senate has a public option in it. And maybe, just maybe, those two can trump the foolishness of the Senate Finance Committee. Maybe. I'd say cross your fingers, but I don't believe in that kind of thing. What I believe in, I'm one of those people that ascribes to, was it Thomas Edison who said, "I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." We work hard enough, we can have what we need. We had a Rolling Stones segue last night with "This May Be the Last Time." And maybe this is another one. You can't always get what you want, because what we want is universal single-payer health care. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And we need, at the very least, at the very bare minimum, at a baseline level, we need some kind of viable public option. And if we try, if we call senators, if we email, if we mail, if we talk to our neighbors, knock on doors, talk in the line in the grocery store, talk at the post office, talk with your hand on the pump handle, talk at church, talk wherever you go, peacefully, gently talk, urge, encourage. Let's remind ourselves and our neighbors that we are all the same kinds of folks, that this isn't a black or a white issue. This isn't a middle class versus the lower class issue. It isn't us versus them issue. but the them are less than 0.1% of the American populace, and they have been running this show long enough, and it's time that working folks, from the poorest to the wealthiest, recognize that we are all in the same damn boat and act like it. And if we do that, if we try, we just might find we get what we need. Well, let's go to the first blinking light. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Can I say something about when I call and hang up?
No, sure.
There's different reasons for that. Sometimes somebody comes to the door or in here in Florida we get sudden thunderstorm, or sometimes your phone starts to go dead, you know. But I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to think that I shouldn't hold sometimes. You know, I mean, I don't own it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thankful that I do get to talk sometime on it.
Oh gosh, and you know, you're always welcome, Juanita. And I realize that people hang up for a number of reasons, or sometimes
you know
no reason.
I'm not. I have held for an hour before, you know, but. If I hold, it's because I want to try to get through.
Well, here's a little surprise, because it may be kind of hard to remember for some folks. I didn't start behind the microphone. I started out behind the telephone. I mean, I've been in radio for years and years and years, but I'm a fan of this medium, and I have, you know, I've waited on hold for a couple of hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just sometimes I'm amazed. I'll after the show's been on for, you know, an hour or two, and maybe get right in, and other times it's, you know, a long time. But what I sometimes do is, if I want to stay on hold, I'll put it on the speaker, and I'll wash dishes or something, you know.
Lovely idea.
And I can still hear, because I like to hear the other people, too. I'm not just calling to hear myself talk. But anyway, I'm sorry they feel that way, but maybe they just set it out of hand or something, you know. I don't know what else you can do, even if you did have somebody to answer the phone for you, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know when I used to call a guy when, you know, before he came to the horn, you know, there was a while he had people to answer his phones, you know. I think he had some interns you know, you still sometimes have to hold.
Sure.
Wait.
Sure.
So.
And all I can do is press the button every time it lights up, and march through the list.
I used to love this little cartoon called From the Far Side. Do you remember that?
Oh gosh, yes.
Well, there was one, and I've told it to different people, and some people look at me like I'm crazy. I don't know why. Maybe it's something about it I don't understand, but I always thought it was hilarious about this guy that dies, and he goes down to hell, and the devil shows him two doors. And one of them says, damned if you do, and the other says, damned if you don't. I just thought that was hilarious. But, you know, sometimes you just can't win.
No, you can't. You can't. And
so,
you know, we had the better part of, well, more than a decade, I guess, of pure genius coming out of the pen of Gary Larson on the Far Side. There's a couple that are just stuck in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with a friend last night after the show, and we were cackling about this back in the 80s about a particular Gary Larson cartoon. And I said, and then because we got to, he called me to tell me about something that Albert had been talking about on the program months ago, and that's that little pistol shrimp. Remember when Albert was talking about the pistol shrimp?
What?
The pistol shrimp, the one that sends the superheated. Never mind.
I got a bad connection for some reason.
No. It's fine. It's a pistol shrimp.
Okay.
But anyway, and he got around to talk. My buddy got around to talking about dolphins. You know, the conversations I have off the air are very similar to the ones I have on the air. They just go all over the place. But it reminded me of one of my favorite Gary Larson cartoons, and it's a dolphin sticking its nose up out of the water, And at the side of the pool, there are a bunch of scientists next to a chalkboard, and one of them's been writing on the chalkboard, and he looks at his other scientist buddy and says, I don't know. He just, and he's talking about the dolphin, he just keeps making these habla espanol noises. I don't know what they mean. Ah, the pistol shrimp was David from Maine. Okay, my bad. I'll probably get corrected in a minute.
Well, I like those. Another one I like is the guy that's the concert plays classical music, and he dies and goes to hell, and he's put in with a whole orchestra of banjo players. I don't know. I just thought he was a genius. I mean, a lot of those cartoonists are just like comics, you know. I'll tell you, people have some amazing minds. But I was going to call. I was calling about the Senate. I heard them like part of them today. You know, the Marcus and all of them. They were talking. It sounded like hearing the same thing they've been saying all along. Oh, thank you for blah blah this and. Anyway, I didn't see him, but this one senator was saying thank you, to Baucus about, we know you had 71 meetings, and he said, no, it was 71 hours, it wasn't 71 meetings, and he said it just seemed like 71 meetings, and I thought, well, because they've been really saying, oh, how hard we work, and I thought, well, that's a normal week and a half of work. And they're complaining about, I'm sure it's a lot of pressure, but my God, you know, if you ever been on a regular job, you know, they put you under pressure too.
A little bit, yes.
A little bit, yeah. And it's not day in and day out. It's not just 71 hours a year or something. I just thought, oh, brother. Yeah. But,
yeah, well, it's almost like a detachment from what the reality is for working America, isn't it, Juanita?
Mm-hmm. But old Alan Grayson, he keeps on.
Well, I really do. I think by calling Olympia Snow out in that phone call.
Oh, was that great?
Those remarks on the floor of the House, by calling Olympia Snow out, I think he brought public pressure on her.
Good for him. We need it.
Now, she's still not a fan of the public option yet, but you know what? She can be brought around. You know, because, you know, why should the people of the United States be denied something that the people of her state already have?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Grayson, he had a meeting here in Orlando, I think it was last week, I was reading in the paper, and he had, people just came from all over Florida, and they wanted their picture made with him. You know, we're so grateful for somebody to speak for us, this elected official, to speak up for us. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Regardless of anything else.
Someone who will give voice to our voices.
Right, right. Instead of saying, no, 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 you people can't have that. No, no, you don't matter. But we're the ones that wanted it. You know, the change. We're the ones that want the change. Those other people don't want to change. Those blue dogs and...
No, no, no. They are happy with life as it is.
Yeah. And they don't care about what other people are having to go through. They can't. There's no way they can care. But anyway, I'm not going to take a lot of your time, but I just... That's basically... I had something else. I forgot what it was, but... Anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny about them. Oh, it was 71 hours. It was tough, you know. It was awful. But they've been saying this, you know, for ever since.
Hearing something like that kind of reminds me of the late great W.C. Fields. There's that one quote of his where he says, and oddly enough, he says, "I remember the time we were in Afghanistan. We had lost our corkscrew." We were forced to live for 2 weeks on nothing but food and water. You know, that's them. We had to sit there and listen to those ordinary people. Oh, my God, we worked, we put in 71 hours of it. You know, please, tell it the world's tiniest violin time, you know?
Oh, I know what else I was going to say about Chaney's daughter.
Yes.
She's hooked up with Crystal now. They're going around trying to get us to go to war with Iran.
Oh, yeah, and of course, what did I hear mentioned a couple of times today? Hillary Clinton has said she definitely will not run for president again.
Yeah.
Well, I would think there would be dancing in the streets in Republican weird little lizard brain world over that. But no, it sounds like they're unhappy. Why won't you run against that one? We didn't know how good we had it with you, Hillary. I mean, we made a lot of fun of you and we talked a lot of nasty stuff about you, but at least you're white, Hillary.
Yeah. Well, they think she can be beat. Which she could, I guess.
Well, she might very well have been beaten by Grumpy John.
But it, you know, anyway, that's, yeah, they've hooked up and all. I just wish they'd all go over there and fight it. Get in it. You know, if they want the war, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but leave the normal people out of it. I want to see, it'd be nice to see William the Bloody Crystal all done up in some desert kit marching out and
right.
looking not knowing which way to look for fear that something was going to be an IED.
Run out of water and, run out of something to drink.
We could give him his very own, we could give him his very own unarmored Humvee and say, you know, go forth and spread freedom, Bill.
You have to get a little chair and cut a hole in it. To have a potty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill, go out there. Be a patriotic hero. Stand not upon the order of your going, Bill, but go at once.
Right, right. I say for her to go, too. Let her go.
Fine by me. You know, I'm equal opportunity. I don't believe in discrimination in the military.
Mm-mm. Me neither. Anyway, it means they want it so bad.
I think, you know, even a pornographer's daughter should be allowed in the military. Because, you know, she is the daughter of a pornographer. You remember that god-awful book, Sisters, that Mama Cheney wrote?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Randy Rhodes used to read that on the air.
Oh, God, I read a bunch of it on the air one time. And that was one of those nights on terrestrial radio when the lights all lit up and they're going, geez, Bob, please stop. This is horrible.
Well, the thing is, the woman don't know that it's on the Internet because somebody asked her about book, and she said, oh, it was such a stupid little book, you know, wasn't nothing to it. But I thought what I heard, it was well written, but...
Well, I will never... I will
stuff from it that I never heard before. But.
I will never forget the name or the handle or the chat or the Internet name of the person who painstakingly put that text up on the web for as long as it stayed. And I had it all printed out at one point. The person was on the Internet as Mrs. Tarquin Biscuit Barrel. How can you forget a name like Mrs. Tarquin Biscuit Barrel? What a public service, putting Sisters out there so that everybody could read the pornographic fantasies of Liz Cheney.
Well, I remember that was the Powderpuff thing. She had to know something. I mean, she had to know a whole lot to be writing that. I don't know. I think they're all a bunch of weirdos, her and her husband.
Well, there we go with one of those Juanita moments. It's the Juanita moment of clarity for Tuesday, the 13th of October. I don't know, but I think they're all just a bunch of weirdos. It is, you know, I'm not making fun, Juanita. That is Zen-like in its clarity.
It's funny how, like, you know, you think things like that, and then you find out, you know, from the radio. I mean, we didn't know for a long time that we had so many other people that thought like us, and that he was a scary, creepy guy.
Oh, no. That's one of those Ben Birch moments. You know, thank God for Ben Birch. 2002, he put up the White Rose Society, and all of a sudden people were able to download liberal radio on the Internet, and they went, hey, there's more of us.
Right, right. I mean, you feel like you're all by yourself, you know. And it's good to know that you're not completely a blithering idiot, you know. But...
Exactly.
But hey, there's something else.
Well, Juanita, you have yourself a good evening, dear.
You too, Bob.
All right. You take care.
Night-night.
All right. Bye now. Juanita from Central Florida with a moment of clarity. I don't know what they are, but I think they're all a bunch of weirdos. There you go. What takes me 2,000 words to say? You know, that's the difference. You know, you go to Juanita and you say, Juanita, what time is it? She says, 20 till 7. You come to me and you say, what time is it? I'll tell you how to build a watch. Clarity. Brevity. Brevity is the soul of wit. Right, Shakespeare?
Yeah.
And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good, very good. I'm out here in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. And who am I speaking with? First name only.
Ken.
Okay, Ken. Thanks for the call.
Great. I've been listening to you for about a month now, and very much appreciate your station and Guy James and everybody. And it's nice to hear a little bit of a different opinion.
Well, it's I don't know what qualifies as different, but we're just trying to put it out there and create the conversation space.
Well, a different opinion from what you see in the media, the mainstream media anyway. It's so hard to get anything through nowadays.
Oh, absolutely! A classic example of that, Ken, happened on MSNBC today. They were talking, and it was this morning, and they were talking about Rush Limbaugh, and I guess it's come to the point where Rush feels like he's responsible for Glenn Beck. No, really, you could just in the video you could see the little jealousy molecules just sort of springing out of Rush's drug-addled pores. But at the end of it, Donnie Deutsch said, well, I've got the audio here, but we won't do it. But he said at one point they bleeped him later in the show talking about him. Deutsch said he called Rush Limbaugh, and this is the quote, "I called Rush Limbaugh a feminine hygiene product that starts with D and sounds like my last name. It was bleeped. You can't say that on TV." Can you imagine that? You can't say douche on TV.
They can advertise them, but they can't say it.
Right. You can hustle them, but you cannot refer to someone as one. Oh, freedom of speech, how I love thee, wherever it happens.
Yeah. Well, I had one point I wanted to bring, Bob, about out here in Hawaii.
Okay.
Okay, and it's probably dear to your causes with the environmentalism and the protection of the mountaintop removal. We, and on electricity out here, we are paying the highest price for electricity out of the whole country, more than California even, and we have a geothermal plant less than 5 miles away from us, and this geothermal plant has the technology and has had the technology since the 70s to ramp up to higher degrees, and there's no incentive to get them to even look into it. And what I really don't like about it, it's owned by the Israelis. I mean, it's an Israeli-owned corporation that runs the geothermal plant here.
Well, Ken, pardon me for just a minute if I just ask, why can't Americans do that?
I totally agree with you. I don't know.
See, we are letting the 21st century's industrial revolution pass us by. They're making wind turbines all over the world, but if we talk about bringing a wind turbine plant in somewhere, there's always some idiot who wants nuclear or some idiot who wants to burn coal who says, "Oh, we can't do that."
Well, clean coal,
yeah. I mean, they've got a. I guess they've got a wind turbine factory, what is it, in Iowa? And guess where that company comes from? I mean, you'd think, General Electric, they could maybe build a wind turbine? Divert a few resources from building bombs to kill brown people? build a wind turbine factory? No. I think it's Siemens or someone else like that. A German corporation is building the wind turbine factory. And then it's the same thing all over the country.
Right. I've only heard one real good story coming from the layoff in the auto industry. One manufacturer that used to manufacture car parts has switched over to making the wind turbines. So they at least converted a manufacturing facility to something here in America. So that's one plus, but it is true. I don't understand why they basic needs here in America.
Well, in Hawaii, I mean, I've never been there, but I've always been told that a lot of the prices are higher in Hawaii because of transportation costs.
Right.
I don't know that I buy that because we certainly manage to, you know, we put coal on boats and send it to China. I can't see what's so difficult about maybe, you know, sending, well, it's not, you get my point. There's always some fudging going on with that. But
to give you a good example, our gas price is a dollar more a gallon at any given time. So what is your average gas? $2 something a gallon right now?
Right now we're at two here, and it's more expensive here than it is, say, in neighboring Virginia. We're at $2.54.9 a gallon.
And we're at $3.30. And we're one of the cheaper islands.
So wow.
Around $3.60 around Maui and even worse on some of the other islands. So a lot of it's just price gouging. You know, they have to move the oil from one place to another anyway. And we get ours from actually Indonesia instead of America. So, which, you know, it's all confusing.
but it also is indicative of the dodge that's involved, the sort of carnival midway game that's involved. Because, you know, you've got... I mean, I know storms come by and everything, but you've got abundant sunlight there, right, Ken?
Very much. I'm looking at investing in solar as soon as Florida.
Absolutely.
An average of the electric cost for a family of four here in Hawaii is $400 a month.
Wow.
So, and that's if you do any laundry. Okay, so you could pay for solar in, say, 2 years, on the prices we're paying to the damn electric company. Excuse me, sorry.
No, that's okay. You can say that. We're not regulated by the FCC. Haha. Why it's so? Well, what about your elected representatives in Hawaii? I mean, we always think of, you know, a tropical paradise, and people know it, and they guard the environment. Isn't there a significant environmental movement out there?
To the point, though, that has blocked the geothermal and other things.
Oh, the NIMBYites. Oh.
It's gone the opposite direction. So they will not let anything be developed at all, so you can't even move forward on something like renewable energy.
Oh, and you know what NIMBY means, right?
NIMBY.
Not in my backyard.
Right, yes. And that's... They object to the wind turbines all the time, and the only place we really have a wind farm is at the southern tip of the island. Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. Don't want to see those, because Lord knows, you know, those windmills in Holland have been a real tourism killer.
Oh.
I mean, it was so bad they had to plant tulips around them and put them on postcards. I mean, there's big, broad, flat areas on the Big Island, aren't there? I'd think there'd be some industrial wind there.
There is. Nobody's doing anything with it. Or they're just so much regulation, they can't do anything with it. And I don't think it's quite the amount of regulation. There's just no incentive. Why would there be incentive when you're getting everybody to pay these electric rates?
Well, the electric company itself, is it public or private?
I don't know if it's public or private, but it's only one. There's no option, so that's, you know, utility.
So it's captive, and if there's no reason for me to believe that Hawaii is any different from any other state in that the Public Service Commission exists not to protect the public. Silly me. But instead to gently keep the rates supported for the utility that it supposedly regulates.
Yeah. Well, a good example is they were trying to build a wind farm on one of the outer islands, and the electric company was fighting them. They don't want it. They don't want to use their electric. They weren't going to support them and buy the electric from them.
That can be compelled.
Monopoly power.
You know, some of that though is public pressure. Just by comparison, we have a situation here in West Virginia, down in a neighboring county to mine. It's called Greenbrier County. There's a big tourism draw there called the Greenbrier Hotel. Well, like five ridges over where you can't see them, they want to put up a wind farm. And these people who have moved in here from somewhere else say, it will ruin our viewscape. And honest to Jesus, a viewscape, Ken? A viewscape? And then they invented another phrase that they call view pollution.
View pollution.
Yes. How
can they explain that to us for the helicopters that fly over our house every 20 to 30 minutes that fly to see the volcano? Now, that's view pollution of us, but they sure don't bother because that's a corporation.
Oh, sure. And there's a dollar being made.
The helicopter company, so they pay taxes, so they can pretty much wherever they want to fly. The only regulation is they're not supposed to be very low. But they skirt that whenever the weather's bad. They just get low, so they can see underneath the clouds.
Oh, we've all seen the intro to reruns of Magnum PI. Yeah, that helicopter skimming low over the water, sure. And I don't doubt that there's tons of that for tourism purposes there. But it's all a question of who has the power to make the noise to make change come. It's interesting that you would call from Hawaii this evening because. I got an email just the other day from our buddy Bob Lottie in the chat room, and it was a story about the mobilization of the fundamentalist so-called Christian movement in Hawaii, and it looks like they're getting ready to crank things up real ugly-like for the 2010 midterms. Have you seen anything along those lines?
I have not yet, actually.
Let me see if I can find this real quick. Shouldn't take me too long. It might take me a second, but at any rate, I guess they said they had a lot of luck back in, the late 90s, and they're hoping that they can leverage, because they've realized that I guess if they pull together, it doesn't take that much to change change a voting outcome in Hawaii, I suppose.
Well, there's not only about 50% of the population at most vote, and then they watch mainstream media or whatever to get their information. So, and we're actually losing some of our media out here. One of our stations is going to merge with another station. So there goes one more local news station.
Oh, God. And so God only knows what you'll wind up with. It's an Associated Press story. I just found it, Ken. And it says, Catholic and evangelical Protestant leaders hope to push Hawaii politics rightward, preparing an election year effort in 2010 to organize their parishioners into voting blocks that can help like-minded candidates, and they're hoping to use the issue of civil unions to get them there. And what they're, the big push, I guess, is for the guy who's lieutenant governor or some such and is running for governor and is a Republican.
Duke Biona. Yeah, he's a Republican right underneath Linda Lingle. They're about the only Republicans in office out here. In the whole state, almost. I don't know how they have any how they got in, but, you know, they got the one highest office.
Yeah, it says in this article that the biggest beneficiary of the effort will be Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona. And let's see, what's he done? It says here that he has made big public pronouncements about how much he hates civil unions, gay marriage, abortion, that he's gone to religious rallies. And then in 2004, and this is a real showstopper, Ken. In 2004, he told a prayer gathering that Hawaii belongs to Jesus. And then he said his faith won't interfere with his duties. You pick which. Did you know you belong to Jesus?
Well, I felt like I've been running all my life from him.
Well, maybe not so much from him, but from his followers, certainly.
Well, I was born in the Bible Belt in Virginia. Left Virginia for Louisiana. And found I had discovered reverse racism. I was never a racist myself. Born in Virginia, I went to school, you know, a total public school with whatever color, you know, every creed, whatever religion, you know, there was no problem. We all got along. You know, I didn't know no different, you know.
Right.
And go down to Louisiana, all of a sudden, I'm the hated person. I'm like, what did I do? You know, and I felt fine ever. I was like, wow, this is weird. And I moved from there out to here, where there's very, very lack of racism out here. And it's awesome. Everybody just gets along. And, you know, we don't need, you know, somebody pushing Christianity in the wrong direction, not towards peace, but towards republicanism. You know, it's not Christianity anymore. You know, and I am a Christian, but I don't believe their form of Christianity.
No, and you don't want it shoved down your throat. Well,
it's
Ken, keep
Christian.
Exactly. Keep an eye out for this. What they're calling it is the 80-80 vision. The 80-80 vision. And what they hope to do is convince 80% of Christian, so-called Christian churchgoers to register to vote. And then they hope to get 80% of those people who registered to vote so-called Christian values. In other words, pro-hate.
Right.
You know, this article says, get them to vote Christian values on abortion, gay rights, euthanasia, and other issues. Euthanasia? I mean, okay, this is the part where I can make the smart aleck comment about I thought it was Hawaii, not Asia. But, you know, if they're worried about the youth in Asia, they better worry about the youth in Hawaii, too. But
yeah.
Okay, I think I just did anyway. Shame on me. But youth in you'd think that we were not going to... They just won't give up on the death panels now, will they?
Wasn't it a Republican that introduced that part of the legislation in the first place? The so-called piece that actually they referred to as a death panel?
I'm not sure that it was first introduced by, but it was certainly endorsed by a number of Republicans. The piece of legislation in particular, I think, was introduced by, we discussed this on the program one evening, it was introduced by a well-intended Oregon congressman who just didn't want to see anybody else ever put through the hell that Terri Schiavo was put through. But it was in fact endorsed by Republicans. But shh, don't tell anybody watching Fox News that, because they've never been told that. Right.
I don't know how the transition to digital went for y'all, but we have. There's my Virginia coming out a little bit. The y'all.
Yeah. You can. And you've been in Hawaii how long, and you still say y'all?
5 years.
Well, I don't think it'll ever go away.
I was in New Orleans for almost 10 years, so it sticks with you.
Yeah, it's stuck.
Yeah, well, most of my family's from Virginia and North Carolina, so that's why I can really relate to y'all. It's so nice to hear Southerners that still have brains. You know?
There are a few of us, Ken.
I know there's some out there. I just don't, the media acts like they're all right-wing Christians. And I know a lot of Christians that don't believe this Fox
garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be, but for you, it's got to be a beautiful thing out in Hawaii, because you can look up and say, you know, hey, brah, hang loose, y'all. And just sort of marry the whole, the marriage of two linguistic cultures, you know, right there. But you're so correct, because the whole point, which I guess is a contradiction in terms, of what we're doing here is sort of reminding folks that you don't just, well, I really hated that book that came out a couple of years ago called Whistling Past Dixie, was it? Where the author said, ah, screw them. We'll just ignore them, and we'll win anyway. And I just thought, you know, what an insult to every liberal Southerner. What an insult to every progressive Southerner. Just to assume that everybody is cut from the same bigoted cloth.
Right.
And we're not. There's lots of us, too. Lots and lots. And you know, you hear that, well, you know, Juanita was on before you were, and don't get much more Southern than Juanita, and our buddy David in Tennessee, and Luke in Tennessee, and we hear more by email from him than by phone, but David in South Carolina. Lots of Southern folks. And for every, you know, for everyone that calls or writes, you know, there's a handful that don't.
Right, right.
You know, our pal.
Before I got up the nerve to call.
And see, you've survived it. And hopefully, you know, you can do it again sometime. Well, I would be interested. Do please keep us informed, Ken, about efforts to, about what you're dealing with efforts to get, you know, clean green energy out there. Because I can see, you know, tropical paradise, all that. I can see where people would there would be a movement to resist green energy. But there has to be some sort of a balance, doesn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, the last I checked, there's no coal mines on you know, in or around Kilauea or anything like that.
Right. We don't have any type of reserves or you know, natural resources that you can pull out of the ground as far as that, other than say the steam, the oil resource. You know, what's the term versus the old versus the new? You know, like oil, coal. These are dying resources versus the new renewable resources.
Exactly. And you are, just by virtue of where you are, sitting on top of some pretty significant renewables in the form of geothermal.
Yeah. And they've admitted they could ramp up the plant at any time and power not just our island, but part of another island. So what is the problem? It just confuses everybody out here. And we know the answer, but nothing happened. You know, we've tried voting differently and voted. We even came up with our own initiative this past on the Obama ballot, and they don't want to recognize it. They're still, well, we need to check with the police here and there and, you know, see if it's valid. We voted for it. It should be valid. You know, if it's on the same ticket as Obama, he's a president. Why is that part of the ballot fine and the rest of the ballot not?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Ken, wonderful hearing from you, and don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. It was very nice talking to you, Bob.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. Chime in anytime. I'm serious.
I'll be continuing listening.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Bye.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hey. I don't think I've ever used aloha before, except for the obligatory, you know, Book 'em Dano, Murder One. Ken, calling from Hawaii. New caller. Wonderful. And, you know, that can happen for you, too. It's real easy to do. 877-443-2366 is, in fact, the phone number. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, if you want to save us a buck, 304-658-3333 is the number. See how easy? And you can always reach me. You can reach me at Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, at gmail.com. That's the email address. The chat room's there for your use. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. It's free. It's easy. Jump right in. Good crowd in there tonight. And excited to hear whatever you may have to say, especially since I had to get cranky at the beginning of the program. And I'm sorry. I hope I didn't put anybody off with that. I had a very nice email from Jude. And she said, interesting email from the individual who could not speak on the horn yesterday. Maybe that individual was supposed to listen and learn. She said, the program was a stunning one, especially on the various topics, always so diverse and unique. The dialogue between you and Grant was truly a remarkable interchange. It shifted my consciousness on many levels, and I was grateful for the opportunity to listen to all of you yesterday. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for the affirmation. We appreciate it. And Marty also notes, aren't the native Hawaiians trying to reclaim Hawaii for themselves and secede from the U.S.? I've read a little bit about that, but I'm not entirely up to speed on that. I know that there is a nativist movement. They took over the old palace. What was it? The Kamehameha Palace a year or so ago. And I'm sympathetic to things like that. You know, I was proud when Scotland got its own parliament back. Just because I'll always root for the Scots against the English. Soccer, beer brewing, haggis tossing, what have you. It's just native. Email in from Joe, the foxhole atheist. And he said, yesterday, my right-wing ultra-religious aunt stopped by to say hi. I told her not to forget to read my new bumper stickers. Later she said, I think they're funny, even though I disagree with them. Didn't say anything, but was thinking, what stickers does she disagree with? Joe says, my car is decorated with Jesus was a liberal. I am too poor to vote Republican. Freedom isn't free, so stop whining and pay your taxes. A couple of pro-healthcare anti-war stickers and the First and Fourth Amendments of the Constitution. If she doesn't agree with Jesus was a liberal, she believes that he was a bloodthirsty Republican. If she disagrees with I'm too poor to vote Republican, she doesn't understand that she's voting against her own best interests, considering she just recovered from bankruptcy. If she disagrees with my anti-war pro-health stickers, she believes people should die and suffer? What scares me is if she disagrees with the First and Fourth Amendments. This means I can't trust her not to do me harm. The next time I see her, I'll ask her what she disagrees with. I'll also let her know that because of her self-identification with the Republican Party, I can never trust her. It's tough coming to realizations like that. And sad, too. And I still have, somewhere, I've been thinking about it for a long, long time. Somewhere I still have in my head, because I haven't fully distilled it, A profound something approaching hatred for the right wing, but not for the usual reasons, but for the fact that they claim to be family values. And yet, at the same time, this is the bunch that has done more to ruin more Thanksgiving dinners, split more families, hurt more family members than just about, well, than any other organization in this country. And they didn't do it accidentally. They did it on purpose. And God, whether it's Fox News or the Family Values Coalition or whatever right-wing, money-grubbing bunch of Christo-fascists they are, I despise them for it. I absolutely and utterly despise them for it. And I will not forgive that. Forgiveness is predicated on repentance. Before someone can say, I forgive you, the other side has to say, I'm sorry. And to the best of my knowledge, they have never and will never say, I'm sorry. So with that, we will take our top of the hour break a few minutes late. On the way, the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And then we'll get back to the conversation. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, October 13, 2009.
Rising waters, shrinking glaciers. Slouching to Copenhagen. A Republican breaks ranks. Plus,
what the chamber wanted to do was establish the monkey trials of the 21st century.
Even energy companies are taking on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
All of that and much more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Prepare for 6 minutes of green news and snarky comment.
When the teabaggers find out that Obama is acting all Al Gore-like up there in Copenhagen, they're going to say that it's more of his socialist agenda and that he's taking his marching orders from Sweden. Because they don't know that Copenhagen is in Denmark.
You tell them, Bill Maher. This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is brought to you by VelvetRevolution.us. Cracking down on ideologues who incite violence over our airwaves. Sign the petition demanding action from the DOJ and Congress before it's too late at StopDomesticTerror.com. Here's Desi Doyen with our Green News headlines.
U.S. military support is on the way to the Philippines to aid in recovery efforts after two typhoons in 2 weeks led to flooding and mudslides that have killed over 600 people combined. The U.S. military is sending aerial equipment to get recovery aid to parts of the country cut off by the storms. In the meantime, remnants of Super Typhoon Malor have crossed
Super
the Pacific.
Super Typhoon?
Yeah, that's the equivalent of a Category 4 or 5 Atlantic hurricane.
Wow.
So those remnants have crossed the Pacific, bringing much-needed rain to drought-stricken California. But residents and officials must now contend with a heightened risk of flooding and mudslides in burn areas laid bare by the recent wildfires.
And so that's why we're out here in Los Angeles. It's been dark and gloomy the last couple of days. It's the super typhoon.
Yep.
All right.
A new study says glaciers in the disputed Kashmir region of India are shrinking faster than other glaciers in the Himalayas, threatening drinking water supplies for tens of thousands of people in Pakistan and India. Glaciologists with the University of Kashmir.
Glaciologists?
Yes, that's what they're called when they study glaciers.
Oh, okay.
They blame rising winter temperatures in the mountain region and changing precipitation patterns. Meanwhile, international climate negotiations ended in recriminations and little agreement over the weekend in Bangkok in advance of the final UN gathering to sign a formal agreement to curb global greenhouse emissions in Copenhagen in December. The polarization between developing and industrialized nations has led some to question whether any agreement will be achieved by the UN deadline. Norway pledged to cut 40% of its emissions in 10 years if that would help push developing countries to commit to concrete targets. And Saudi Arabia pushed to receive financial aid if the world is to transition away from Saudi oil exports.
They pushed to receive aid to themselves.
Yes, they said they don't have a diversified economy, and like all other oil exporting countries, they'll need some help. But, of course, Saudi Arabia is far better off than poor oil countries because it's one of the richest of the oil exporting countries.
You got that right.
Whether the U.S. will be able to pass domestic climate legislation in time to use it as a bargaining chip in Copenhagen depends on whom you talk to. California Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer says she's confident the legislation will pass out of her committee in November, but that will probably push any floor debate into next year. In an interview with Greenwire, Boxer said even if a bill is not ready for the president to sign by Copenhagen, U.S. negotiators should still be able to commit to firm emissions reductions targets. In a Sunday op-ed in the New York Times, co-authored with with Democratic Senator John Kerry that Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina broke away from his party and outlined a path to compromise that includes enhanced funding for nuclear power, coal, and offshore drilling.
Yeah, now, did he really break away from his party? You got Lindsey Graham and John Kerry doing this op-ed together in the Times. Seems to me, in reading it, that maybe John Kerry, I know this will be no surprise, was had by Lindsey Graham. I mean, they're talking about all kinds of nuclear stuff. Does this stand a chance of actually getting into this bill at this point?
Many Democratic senators have indicated they would be willing to compromise on nuclear provisions if it would help bring along more Republican votes in order to get to a filibuster-proof 60 votes.
Democrats compromising? Say it ain't so.
And, of course, it shouldn't be mistaken that co-authoring an op-ed in the New York Times is not the same as co-authoring the bill itself.
Because Lindsey Graham has not committed to supporting this bill, has he?
That is true.
Even if they include the provisions he wants.
He has not said he will vote for it.
That old trick.
But powerful business interests are pushing hard against the legislation as more details emerge in the ongoing saga of corporations leaving the U.S. Chamber of Commerce over the chamber's opposition to the climate and clean energy legislation. In an interview with E&E News, the CEO of Pacific Gas and Electric, Peter Darby, one of three major utilities to cancel their membership, elaborated.
As we've looked at their actual behavior around legislation, we came to the conclusion that they were doing all they could to really stop Waxman-Markey rather than make positive contributions to advance the bill.
The chairman of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has blasted Apple Computers, the most recent defector, for canceling its membership, saying that the chamber is the victim of an orchestrated pressure campaign by environmental groups.
Yeah, and if anybody knows orchestrated pressure campaigns, it would be the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Those guys do not have the best interest of the U.S. in mind, or the planet, as far as I'm concerned. Read about that and much more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Did I hear Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen right? Did I just hear them report that the Bush family's business partners, the Saudi royal family, want welfare when their oil runs out and we transition away from that filthy goop? Did I just hear that? Okay, this is a mean and spiteful moment from Bob, okay? And this is not about Arabic people. This is about people who consider themselves better than others and call themselves royalties. I'll be happy when the royal house of Ibn Saud is eating rats. I don't like them. I don't like anybody that calls themselves kings or queens or thinks that they're anything other than, you know, walking agglomerations of chromosome pairs that pass for human. They treat their people like crap. They've got a fascist religious force that marches around their country whipping women. They allow their citizens to sell their daughters at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11 on a pledge that the dirty old man who has bought her won't bang her, you know, till she's at least Marion age, you know, 13. God, and they make jokes about hillbillies. Now, I got nothing for the Saudi royal family, the business partners of La Familia Bush. I got nothing for them. And then there's this. I mean, just because I'm geographically insane. They're afraid that they're going to starve. No, they're not really going to starve. They're just going to sink back into the sands of obscurity from which they arose because there happens to be some goop under their sand. Maybe the time to worry about when you run out of the goop is when you've still got the goop. Just like here in what was once referred to as the Saudi Arabia of coal, and I won't mention who referred to it as the Saudi Arabia of coal for a desire not to piss anybody off. Okay, it was Barack Obama. Here in the Saudi Arabia of coal, maybe the good time to start worrying, thinking about what we're going to do with this area when we ain't got no more coal is while we still got some, which, you know, is like 20 years and counting. It's 26 minutes past the hour, and my mind is with my friends and colleagues and comrades at Coal River Mountain Watch. Many of them are in Charleston right now, probably in the midst of a gang of screaming coal thugs and massy wives and goons at a public hearing being held by the Army Corps of Engineers on what's called NWP 21, Nationwide Permit 21. That's the rubber stamp process by which, during the 8 long, tormented, and tortured years of the Bush administration, the Army Corps of Engineers went and said, oh, what, they want to blow up another mountain in Appalachia? Where's that rubber stamp? Ah, never mind, I'll lick it with my tongue. Approved. But now they're being called on the carpet because what it is it's a one-size-fits-all approach to dealing with situations that can only rational if you actually give a rat's rear end about what happens in Appalachia and what happens to Appalachia. It's the kind of situation that can only be dealt with on a case-by-case. You can't just go, oh, look, here's another mountaintop removal permit approved. You can't do that. But that's what they did. And they're finally being called upon by the Obama administration to rethink that. And the calls have gone out en masse from the coal mob to get their screaming, howling the crowds down there. And my friends, my colleagues, my comrades are down there to make sure that it isn't simply an echo chamber for the right-wing coal mob, that the real costs of coal are presented, the real costs of NWP 21 and what it did for those 8 long, tormented, tortured years of the Bush administration are made abundantly clear and put on the record. And I fear for them. They're trained in nonviolence. They are nonviolent. But the same can certainly not be said of the coal mob. They are violent. They are trained in violence. They are incited to violence. They are whipped into violence. And I can only pray, like that does anything, that they're all right. Over the course of the weekend, a seniors' march was led from Charleston to the facilities of Mammoth Coal. That you might remember, that's the coal operation that was mentioned by Wayne in a call last week, in which Massey got busted by the National Labor Relations Board for its own illegal activity in union busting. A seniors' march was led, you know, by an 81-year-old senior citizen with the solidarity and camaraderie of some younger folks up to that facility. 81-year-old veteran leading the group had a coal mobster in a passing car throws some liquid all over him from a cup while screaming obscenities at him. Just another day in the Saudi Arabia of coal. But to return to my initial point with regard to the Saudis, is it just me, or do they sit on what's called the Saudi Arabian Peninsula? The Arabian Peninsula. And isn't that mostly desert? And doesn't the sun shine there almost 365 days a year in incredible intensity? And at night, do winds not howl down through the wadis? Yeah, I thought it did. Maybe this would be a lovely time to take a prince, king, whatever you are. Maybe this would be a lovely time to take some of that money that you spend on Bentleys and Rolls's and yachts and roll it into some renewable energy. You know, from the sun, created by Allah, that harnesses the power of the wind, that is the breath of Allah. Maybe this would be the time to be doing that, your princeness. If you can get around to it in between hummingbird tongue canapé snacks and lark's vomit canapé, befores and afters and petty fours made out of peasant and whatever it is you monstrous royals eat. Maybe this would be the time to put those solar panels up. Maybe this would be the time to put those wind turbines up. Then everybody can have free electricity in your country, and you can sell the excess, because remember, you control the Arabian Peninsula. You can light up the entire region and charge everybody for it, and then maybe you won't slip back into the obscure sands of time from which you arose because you happen to be sitting on some goop that the United States wanted to exploit. But that's me, and I'm nuts, and I understand that. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
I stole your call, aggravated horn listener. Please try again sometime in the near indefinite future between now and sometime later.
Hey, David, what's up?
You couldn't do that, so I did that. I just want to say one thing before I start. There's a quick way to remedy that. Phone down, or you put it on speaker, and you just let that go through. You don't have to remain there on the phone. There's a way to go out.
Yeah, because the phone is real time. If you're listening on your computer, that's not real time. Mm-hmm. There's some delay there. There's some internet latency involved, usually around 20, 30 seconds, but up to a couple of minutes.
Right.
But if you've got the speakerphone on,
I just wanted to say that, and I can understand the frustrations of people, but there are differences. There are different strategies you can do to remedy that, so I would consider that before getting angry at something. You know what it's like, Bob? It's like this, and I hope this caller does not run off a bombing email at you, but it's like when someone goes to a comedian and had this happen to him. I think this is also from a Bill Hicks routine. And a lot of other comedians, why are you not funny? You ask a comedian that, like, why are your books boring? You ask an author that, like, what kind of answer do you expect?
Yeah, but see, I was gentle.
I know, and that's why.
Because I understand the frustration. I was just trying to make it real, David. Of what it's like here. I got blinking lights, and one's green, and the others are not. For instance, you were green until I turned you red. And once I turned you red, you're on the air. Now another line is blinking green instead of amber. And that'll be the next line I go to.
I understand, but what I'm saying is you know, it's something that a lot of people have to consider when... this medium as well. You have to consider that, and it's just a question like that. When you ask an author, if something's out of your control, you shouldn't. There's no point to ask it. I guess what I'm saying.
Well, it's an answerless question.
Right, it's an answerless question. I did want to share this thing with you because I found it interesting. I read it in a book. Yes, people still read. And apparently it goes back to the beginning of the CIA, and you will find this to be, whether it's true or not, who knows, but it's rather funny, and I won't do the reveal until after I... There is a architect of the OSS and the CIA, and this was around in the 40s when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. And the CIA had it in their possession at that time. And I guess it was during, they were really anxious and excitedly, and they wanted to look at the script. So one of the guys had an idea to take one of the sheets up to the top of the building to see if they could, I don't know, get a better look at it because the lighting wasn't that good. And they were really excited to discover it after the reveal. So they took it to the top of the building, and I guess apparently, sea skulls aren't that strong, and it was just rolled away in the winds and fragments.
Disintegrated?
And, what's that? Yeah, basically disintegrated. And the archaeologists said to the CIA agents, they said, now we'll take this from here on.
Yeah, okay, now morons, let the pros have it.
Yeah, okay, so apparently this is a great story because it involves the of a man named Miles Copeland Sr., who is of the police, Stuart Copeland and Miles Copeland fame, and it was told to Sting. So.
Oh wow!
I found that kind of interesting.
Well, you know, you're our pop culture correspondent. You are, of course, well familiar with Mad Magazine, correct?
Right.
Do you remember the old I don't know. Maybe they still do it. The old Spy versus Spy feature.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's particularly funny during the Cold War. You know, I can't when I think about some of the things that the CIA has done,
mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we'll get that Castro, we'll make his beard fall out. Oh wait, we'll take him down with an exploding cigar. That you know, that vaudeville, that can be some dangerous stuff. I mean, really, there were real, you know, it's all disclosed, there were real plans in the CIA, you know, a bunch of smart guys from Yale, sitting around going, let's make his beard fall out and then the women won't think he's so cool anymore.
Mm.
And it'll make his Johnson shrivel up and he won't feel all manly and able to stare us down no more. And the Russians will think he's, God almighty. And really, they plotted an exploding, you know, too much time watching James Bond movies. Oh, yes, Q has sent us an exploding cigar. Let's send that to Castro. And so you couple that with, hey, let's take this 2,500-year-old piece of vellum up on the roof to get a look at it. Dust.
Yeah, it definitely is that. I did want to remind people that tonight, on PBS's Frontlines, Obama's War. And that starts at 9 p.m. So I watched the first 20 minutes of it. Should be a pretty engaging special. And it does kind of around this time because of the fact of Obama is about to make his decision. The latest headlines were in a few weeks if he's going to do the troops or not. My sinking suspicion, and I know a lot of people are saying he's playing chess. He's not playing chess, people. The military complex owns him lock, stock, and barrel. Let's stop pretending we have a Jedi or a Yoda on our hands. There is no playing chess. There is
Can't
no spoon.
Playing chess, there is no.
Yes, exactly. There is no. And that's the problem. And what is he going to...
No, David, I disagree with you. Okay. On that, you know, where the war in Afghanistan is concerned, no. The political stuff... You know, there might be some political jujitsu going on, but where this is concerned, where the war in Afghanistan is concerned, there's one calculus and one calculus only, and that is this: he's gotten term one, he wants term two. There's never been a president who didn't want his own second term, unless you know you count in Lyndon Johnson and Harry Truman.
but he wants his second term because that's all he gets. And, you know, you, like I said before, when you're the president, you plan to do all your really cool stuff in the second term when you are immune from the nastiness of politics and you never have to run for office again.
Right.
Okay? So the calculus of Afghanistan and Iraq is to try to walk a very, very thin line and not tip over onto the side where the right wing hollers, that one, the brown guy, lost the war. Because that has been their operating, that's been the right wing's operating strategy all along. That is why you got John McCain as their nominee. You know, Grumpy McGrumpster. You know, a cancer patient for the nomination for the president. It was impossible for him to win because the Republicans didn't want him to win. They got him, they got themselves the war that they wanted, and they got themselves the war profiteering that they wanted, but they did not want it to end on their watch because they, the way they think, and remember, because they're psychopaths, they think we all are, and I'll defer to Rick Goodner on that one, but I think he knows what I'm talking about. But because of that, they feared that America would say, well, look, the Republicans done lost war. And then they thought, hey, wait a minute. Let's let the Democrat lose the war. And we'll hang it on him. And we'll make him the Judas goat. So the calculus with regard to Afghanistan and Iraq, no, there's no, I don't think there's any of that chess or Jedi or Yoda or anything like that. I just love the image of Yoda that you planted in my brain.
Yeah.
There's none of that, Dave.
Yeah.
It is one simple thing. How do I manage this without having them claim I lost and brought dishonor to Merca? You know, never mind the fact that dishonor to Merca was what we had during the 8 long tormented, tortured years of George W. Bush. It was one long dishonor.
Well, that's pretty sad that he never, and it seems that most politicians never had that statesman moment, or very hardly few politicians have that statesman moment until they're in their 70s or 80s. And then they say, oh my God, humans are a necessity of life and we need to preserve, the essential essence.
But that's because with the exception of Jimmy Carter, who started having human moments, in the White House even.
Yeah.
That's because only at 70 or 80 years old do they begin to feel the delicate flames of hell licking at their their little toenail hairs. Toe hairs.
Well, you know, that toenails doesn't say hairs. That much about Obama then.
I think he knows that, now there I go projecting again. Another Rick Goodner moment.
Yeah.
I think he knows right from wrong. And we know that being in Iraq and being in Afghanistan is wrong. The question is how to get out without being made a goat. Because he really, because that's the other thing. He really thinks that he can turn the country around and get the country on the right track. He really thinks he's got a plan for it. But it can't really happen until he has that second term power. He needs a stronger majority in the House. He needs a stronger majority in the Senate. He needs to get a couple of those right wing freaks in the rats on the Supreme Court need to drop the hell dead, and then he needs to get reelected, and then by God we can get the job done. It's frustrating as hell, David.
I think they could knock him out after the first term, just out by with a well-placed candidate, dark horse, whatever you want to call it, some Christian right.
No, well, if they make him wear the horns, they can.
And that's what it looks like they're doing.
But, you know, it depends, you know, what's coming, you know, what happened in the Senate today was actually fairly surprising. By the way, I don't know. Speaking of putting horns on the president, there is an investigation going on in Massachusetts right now. Don't know if you saw this.
I don't think I have, no.
Golf course in Lakeville, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes, this.
They carved on a green of the golf course, they carved a swastika and the name Obama. And they used either the heels of their shoes or cleats to scrape the message into the grass. And it's I, swastika, Obama. Now couple either... now couple that, if you will,
yeah,
with this creepy ass video, this militia video that came out. Hate Watch found it. It's since disappeared, but it's been preserved. It's a video that advises President Obama and other prominent people. They refer to him as our dear leader and company, to leave now and give us our country back, and to do it by next week, which would be this week. If you stay, we the people will systematically dismantle you, destroy you, and reclaim what is rightfully ours. We are angry, and we are ready to take back the rights of the people. We will fight, and we will win. Deadline for your national response, October 15th, 2009. Thank you to all patriots who support our cause. Be prepared for when the fateful day of the declaration of war is nationally announced.
That's a.
I mean, it's wing nuttery, but yeah. But it's also representative of the level of hatred that the rhetoric has been ratcheted up to by the likes of, you know, Glenn Beck, and the whole filthy crowd at Fox.
I see that as especially the golf course. I have one of two suspects. I have one. It's the Lyndon LaRouche people, because they can't stop calling Obama, Hitler, and a Nazi at every single get-together that they have. They say it at least 10 times every minute, or it's the GOP.
Yeah, but to the LaRoucheans, everybody's Hitler.
I know, that's why.
No, this is some teabagger horse's ass, you know, egged on by Glenn Beck. That's where this stuff is coming. Have you seen the cover to Glenn Beck's book? Not that I'm trying to hustle it or anything. Have you seen the cover to this thing?
Yes, I did.
Where he's dressed up like some sort of Soviet commissar?
Well, you know, it's similar to what Rush did when he did the I'm a Nazi song. The psychological projection.
And, you know, that's the thing. I've seen photographs, and it's the same thing. The photograph of Beck, and then I've seen photographs of Limbaugh, and they're the same thing, David. They've got that neck up and that chin stuck out, and they look like Mussolini.
Yeah, that's.
And they don't realize, they don't know they look like Mussolini.
You know, Bob, I mean, that's something I think the liberals and the left need to understand, that a lot of people are responding to that, and the audience drives it in droves. I mean, did you read the story about the latest on the Rachel Maddow show? It's not looking good, people. Not looking good at all. That show is on the chopping block right away, because the ratings are diving down like crazy. And that's part of the problem, is because Rachel Maddow is not willing to play that marketing gimmick theatrical image cliche BS that the right wing does so well. And I want people to understand this right now. If you think most people are beyond that, you're mistaken. You need to play into that brand big time if you want to move someone. And that's why you have to have people on deck if Rachel Maddow is not going to do that. Because it's either that or the position gets knocked out and you get another Joe Scarborough. Is that what you want? That's what we face.
David, do I understand you correctly? Rachel's in more ratings doo-doo than Big Ed?
No. Well, if you look into what Ed Schultz does, regardless of what anyone thinks about Ed Schultz, he's a nonstop promoter. He's a shameless promoter. He's a showboater. And Rachel's not a showboater. See, that's what goes big in this country. Showboating, to me, showboating is should be the American vote. That's what it is. I mean, and that's what we're dealing with. And if Rachel's not willing to play, then, you know, it's only a matter of time before they take her off. And I think MSNBC knows this. And I think
But her numbers are good, right?
No. That's the myth. Her numbers are going down drastically, people. And that's because the cynical side of me, the hyper-cynical side of me understands this, which is most Americans, most Americans respond to, marketing and brands and, gimmicks and theatrics. And that's why Glenn Beck and Rush and so forth are doing so well. And also, it's to a degree why Keith Olbermann, when he has that commentary.
And worst person in the world. And
right, well, worst person in the world. And sort of like why people respond to Stephen Colbert, even though that's like looking through the looking glass, looking through that looking glass. You know what I mean? And I see, look, if you really look at what Rachel Maddow's doing and you... your show, I can tell you, I'm the type of person where I can sit from a side to myself and say, will the American public be into this? And I can give you an honest answer. And the honest answer is no. Most of the American public will not be into this because of what is currently on the dial on the airwaves. She's in dire straits, people. I'd be lucky. You'll probably be lucky to see her sometime next summer.
That's, I had no idea. I had no idea, David. I hope you're wrong.
I'd like to be wrong on this, but really when you look into what is happening in this country, regarding what's popular in this country, I mean, it doesn't take a media analysis to figure out exactly what's next to come. And how long Rachel has really on the dial. I mean, I'll honestly ask people, I'll see if they send emails. Do you think Rachel's going to last longer than 5 years? 4 years? 3 years? How is she? She's not marketing herself as a brand. She's not that theatrical.
Well, and there's something else out there, and I hope I'm not pissing anybody off.
Oh,
but it's the
yeah,
truth.
I know what you're going to say.
There's something. No. I bet you don't. One of the reasons Ed is still a going concern. And that
well,
is that he has massive financial backing from a union.
From a what now?
A union.
Oh.
I stood in a reception at which Ed was the guest of honor, and we were told by the president of that union, now you bloggers, when you go out and write, you need to be blogging about what Big Ed says every night. So that when they come to try to take it off the air, we can say, but look at the buzz he's created, you bloggers.
You know,
I heard you bloggers, and I heard, and inside my brain, I heard something entirely different.
That reminds me of the White House's response with the bloggers in the pajamas. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to that yesterday. The anonymous White House source. Who said that people criticizing, what is it? People criticizing the administration, oh, where is it? Oh, yeah. Need to take off the PJs, get dressed, and stop criticizing us.
By the way, did you see the signs for the equal rights and gays protests out there?
No.
For equal rights and gay marriage? Oh, Bob, you have to see these signs. I think they put them up on Huffington Post. They have at least 20 signs. It's some great stuff. But before I go, I did want to share this with people regarding the. I have had some responses from the horn auction on my Gmail thing, and I think we have at least three people on board to do this, counting myself. So that's four people. So you know, I was asking for 10, and I already got 4 in the space of under a week. I really do believe we can get the proper back revenue, so nobody has to sweat or worry about the indefinite future, and we can have those reserves. One of the things that I was thinking that would be cool is imagine this, Bob. If you have some of that reserve money, one of the things that the Horn could do is you could start like a Horn TV channel where you have your community members, and you buy up a full 24/7 stream, for filling it up, indefinite time, and everyone can contribute and put their own program on for the TV. And, anytime someone is, has a hard time or can't sleep or just needs a break from something, that's times. And the great thing about it is it will be completely at random what's on, and it'll never repeat itself because we'll always be adding to the programming. That was just one of my ideas.
Not bad at all. And while I don't get the idea of TV and video, Reverbo and I are on the same page with this. Mm-hmm. I recognize that other people do. Well, long time ago, I started talking about building a studio here and putting this on, a streaming video.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is when the radio show isn't currently on or someone has already caught the radio show broadcast, what this enables to do is everyone can contribute in a way of putting their own piece of programming, whether it's an interview, whether it's a film. And I remember doing this on the Modulus TV, and I loved it so much, Bob. You could fill it up like I literally filled something up for literally a month. Can you imagine a month of programming, and you could just keep going on and on and on, and it would never repeat itself. You could just keep adding other programs, add another video here, whether it was something for 30 minutes, something for 90 minutes, just kept going and going. And I saw that, and I saw the possibility, and I don't know. To me, it seems like something that's it's a great community thing when it comes to interactive media. And also, I think people will get a kick out of it because, you always turn it on. There's always going to be something new. You never. Well, that's a repeat. I've seen that.
Right. Well, it may be worth exploring. It's a little bit beyond my technical expertise to get at on the fly.
Well, like I said, one of the things that when the funding properly is built through different fundraising channels that I'm hoping to obtain, that was one of my ideas, and I could get some people on board, like Spike and some other people who would be interested in building a TV stream like this, and then we could just get everyone to contribute who checks in on it, the Horn, who wants to contribute, and they can add their own that they find is relevant to what the viewers would like as well. It's just, what it is, it's like a kickback entertainment moment. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's work on it. I'm certain. If we could only get the message boards cooking again. This could be dialogued about. But yeah, that's, again, that's another one of those things where too much work and too little human time to put into it. But, yeah, we need to build this. We need to build dialogue and discussion around and get some consensus on this kind of thing because these are great ideas, David.
Well, before I go, I just want to give people the Gmail is hornauction@gmail.com, and if you are interested in being a eBay fundraiser like myself and the three other people who have signed on, we would love to have you. And the requirements, what we're hoping to do, is contribute 50 to 100 a week. That's what we're looking at.
And that's,
of course, we'd like to have more than 10, but I mean, 10 is the goal right now. 10 contributors.
So we're 4 down, 6 to go, and
right.
Reach you at Horn Auction, HornAuction, HornAuction@gmail.com. Correct?
@gmail.com, and I did send you that. I'm sure you got basically that newsletter that I sent out.
Yes.
Okay, that's the basic. That's the basic map of what I'm doing. And it's real simple for people to get involved, and I think people will be surprised if you are a seller or you've decided that you want to sell, I think you'd be surprised how much you can raise. And again, I stress, because this is important, this opens the channel for other fundraising, not just this. I want people to contribute to the vast channels of fundraising. And to me, this is the starting point. And also, I'm turning into Sarah Palin now. And also, but this is the Christmas season, people. So that's another reason why I want to gear up. It was part of my strategy as well. I want to gear up before this season, Bob. We can raise a lot of money.
Oh, okay. I'm told by John that the forum is working. I didn't realize that. But, yeah, then this can all be discussed inside the forum at headonradionetwork.com.
Well, you know what? I will stop by, and I'll post that letter for people to see. And if anyone wants to reach me and you have any questions, or if you want any sort of tutoring and mentoring, how to get started on eBay, or if you decide, or you're trying to decide what you want to sell, again, you can reach me at hornauction@gmail.com, and Bob and John and everyone else will tell you how fast I respond.
David is like greased lightning.
All right, Bob, once again, it's great talking, and it's for the aggravated horn caller, I'm sorry, and I plan on doing it again.
David, take care.
All right, later.
Bye now. Pop culture correspondent and eBay power seller, David, calling from Maine. And onward we go. Nope. Okay. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob. How are you tonight?
I'm well.
Well, good. I'm, kind of in one of my rare cynical moods, I guess.
Oh, no, not you.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Do you have your bell?
Oh, it's right here. I hope we get a chance to use it.
Okay.
I don't know. You were talking about Obama's second term, and I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, this time, this is maybe too little too late. I know that that's what they like to do because they're bulletproof by then. But I think what's going to happen is, I mean, the evil one, the Illuminati's just being too successful. I think that in, like, really within a decade, the American dream is going to be so totally demolished that it won't make any difference what, it'll be too late for him to do anything. I mean, we will, and that, you know, there's a silver lining behind that, though, I think, because America will finally become a third world labor paradise, Bob.
Well, that's been the goal. That's the goal of NAFTA and CAFTA and PRAFTA and SHAFTA and DAFTA and because there is no way that will raise labor standards in the other countries. It will only lower labor standards here and pay.
If you go overseas to find the third world, it will be right here. The middle class will become beggars. Basically, the labor will become beggars. We'll work for peanuts. I mean, this whole concept of the jobless recovery is so amusing anyway. I mean, gee, I give up. What did you think it was going to be? What do we make here? This is all like, tell me something I don't know. Oh, Lord. And I hate to tell people this, too, and it's obviously too late for me. But either way, I sent you some files, and whenever you get some free time, you're very generous with your time, and whenever you feel like, no hurry.
I will get at them as quickly as I possibly can.
No, really, just whenever you get some free time. But, and I do appreciate it. But, this whole thing with the windmills and the, all of it, but there's, you know, certainly no one's going to need a 4-year degree to be a solar panel salesman or a windmill installer. I mean, yeah, we may have other jobs. We may have some new jobs to get, but I don't see that they're really going to be. It's never going to be the way it was, ever. Not ever.
You know, I happen to know for a fact that Dr. Bill O'Brien is, you know, I just love the serendipity or synchronicity or whatever it is that works here.
Here we go. Okay.
Oh, good. Got it in there. Where's the duck?
I just held it down.
But Dr. Bill is cogitating some of exactly what you're talking about. The old labor paradigms of, you know, building the middle class through labor in the industrial, and I hate the phrase, the rust belt, has to change. And we have to find a way to invigorate organized labor outside that paradigm. Otherwise, what you're talking about is true. It'll never be that way again. You know, there are some overt steps that could have been taken, like, you know, Harry Reid actually leading in the Senate and getting the Employee Free Choice Act through instead of being told to sit down and shut up, or, you know, Blanche Lincoln would look meanly at him again. But,
I mean, yeah, there's a chance labor can get organized like they were, and you can be making, you know, $22 an hour building windmill blades or something, but I just don't see it. I don't see it happen. I see a concerted and successful effort to just essentially just reduce the middle class to just dust. And Obama, that's the whole, you know, I don't think there is any first, second term thing going on anymore. I think this is Logan. I don't know how you stop it. I mean, I have kids, and you know, they're both in the highest unemployment demographic after their dad, and you know, I don't know what I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I don't know what to tell them. It's just, you know, this whole thing about the green jobs and this whole green Jetsons future that everybody, these pictures that everybody's been painting. I just don't think it's going to be like people think. I think you're going to have one engineer, and you're going to have 20 salesmen. I just don't see.
But isn't there, I mean, anybody who reads Dilbert knows that there's an element of truth in that.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Dilbert, you got Wally, you got ASOC, and then the rest of the corporation is devoted to sales. And, of course, it's a capitalist-based paradigm. It has to be predicated on sales. Especially for stuff that you can't feel warm and fuzzy about. That's not the problem, I don't think. But you're going to, you know, there's design, there's engineering, and you know, there's going to be backbreaking, hard, sweaty labor. And frankly, I believe in paying backbreaking, hard, sweaty labor well.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also acknowledge the truth in what you say, Reverbo, because it wasn't too long back that I got an email saying, you know, never mind sending Ferg to college, get him a good union job while there's still some good union jobs left to get that can't be outsourced, because he'll make more money that way than he will with a college degree. And there's a great deal of truth in that.
There is.
And it's not, and there's not anything wrong with that.
No, there never was. I mean, used to be the guys in the 50s and 60s, your mom didn't have to work, and your dad, if that's what you were doing, that's what he was doing, you know, made enough money to buy a house. We all know the story. It's the dream. Buy the house, put the kids through college, take vacations, buy some Chevy. Maybe next year you'll get lucky, buy a Pontiac.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to think about it in pop culture terms, think about the Cramden household in the 1950s.
There you go.
Okay. They struggle, and Ralph has big dreams. I guess some would say he dreams above his station. But, you know, he's a bus driver in the 50s, and they're living in New York, and they're, you know, and every now and then you get one of those, you know, honey, you're the greatest moments. You know, the principle being that, you know, they'd been married a long time, but they were still honeymooners. And that gives way through the 60s and gives birth, and I'm talking about this on a continuum of that labor concept. Wow, do I even know what I'm trying to express here? But then by the 1970s, it's Archie Bunker, and he's not, and Ralph isn't living in an apartment anymore. Archie Bunker has a house in Queens.
not a penthouse by any means, but he is elevating himself. Right. There's this elevation going on.
And it was, and American culture, Reverbo, really was that. It was an upward progression. And it's about 1973, you know, when Archie is nearing retirement age.
Yeah.
It's about 1973 when wages stagnate in America. And the working class starts losing ground in 1973 and has not gained a damned inch since.
Exactly. And the cost, well, and another, and the huge discrepancy of I mean, in the 50s, I'm sure the CEO of the company maybe made 40 times what Ralph made. By 1995, it's 400 times. And the cost of everything just ended up chasing that guy, leaving Ralph and all the rest of us to just eat dust.
Well, yeah, where's Michael and Gloria's kid?
What did Archie do for a living? I don't remember.
Archie was a union longshoreman.
A longshoreman? God, I didn't even remember that.
You know, these are the very heart and soul of the idea of American workers. You know, Ralph Cramden's a bus driver. Archie's a longshoreman. And they were rough around the edges, but even for the liberals who watched Archie and thought he was an idiot, there was something endearing about him.
Well, we've touched on this.
Yeah.
There were moments when Archie redeemed himself. Even Archie couldn't stand the way he was.
Well, and there were moments when Archie Bunker looked human in the face of the ridiculousness of, you know, his cousin or sister-in-law or whatever, Maud, who was as liberal could be.
God.
You know, because there's, you know, there's... Oh, come on. People for the American Way. Norman Lear, there's Norman Lear holding the mirror up to the whole damned culture. You know, and Archie Bunker was there, and America kind of recoiled a little bit and said, ooh, we are like that, aren't we? And then Norman Lear said, oh, wait just a damn minute, and along came the Jeffersons. And there was another mirror up to America with more bigotry. Only it was a bigotry that America was even less used to than they were in the overtness that it was presented to them in Archie Bunker. And then when America got, I think I've got the spinoffs right. Then when America got close to being okay, there's Archie, there's Mr. Jefferson and Wheezy, and then Norman Lear said, no, you smug liberal bastards, and along came Maud. And there's that other mirror. And at that point in time, it was a little triptych of what America was at that point in time. And Norman Lear did a tremendous service for the American people, because he not only showed these people these stereotypes, I guess, these archetypes, if you want to get Jungian about it. He not only showed these Jungian archetypes, but he showed their good and their bad, their flaws and their failings, and he showed where it came from. Does this make any sense?
It's good, yeah. I like it. A thing he could do on TV that we lie, we sort of, you know, and he's writing the scripts, he could also point out the essential, how stupidity and ignorance, you can't keep up, you can't stay in the argument if you're ignorant and stupid. But, of course, we don't get to write that into the script today. That's, you know, that's celebrated
Well, no, there's no room for All in the Family. And remember, All in the Family was a lift from a much harsher BBC program called Till Death Do We Part.
Yeah, I never saw that one. But, yeah, I know that, yeah.
It was brutal.
And it was about a bigoted British guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and, but, but,
came from. And
But the point is, there's no room for any of that. There's no room. America doesn't, and I would submit that it's not because of the liberals. It's not like after Maud, the liberals went, oh, Jesus, turn it off. We don't want to see ourselves anymore. Because, you know, Maud, and the thing is, they were all the same character. Archie Bunker was Mr. Jefferson, and Mr. Jefferson was Maud. And we were all, and the whole point out of that reverb was we're all obnoxious. But but at least we were considering it. Now, in America, there's no room for any of those programs. There's no room for any of it because we have passed the ability to look at ourselves in a mirror, and instead something is held up to us that is supposed to be a mirror, but instead it's nothing but a narcissism magnifier in the form of reality TV. God, this is almost a book. I'm sorry. I don't know how you got me doing this, Reverbo.
I'm mesmerized over here. What's eliminated now, the mirror, the image that people see that they're showing you now is brain dead. There's no interest in even considering anything. There's no interest in climbing any more mental rungs of this ladder. It's like, that's why I said cut them loose. Obama just has to cut all these people loose once and for all. They're never, ever, ever going to get it because they're too far gone now. I mean, you were talking about a guy in Hawaii, and you're talking about something about the Christians and mobilizing the hate vote in Hawaii now?
Yeah, the 80-80 vision. Register 80% of the hate-filled phony Christians in Hawaii and then get 80% of those to vote family values.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the turnout is, because they recognize that the turnout is thin enough in Hawaii that they can turn Hawaii into a little right-wing fundamentalist paradise.
Well.
I mean, there is still, unless things have changed dramatically since last I heard, there's still a dramatic Mormon presence in Hawaii. So you bring those guys in, you get the fundamentalist Protestants, you get the hardcore, you know, beat yourself with barbed wire crowd from the Roman Catholic Church, and boom, you got a little religious theocracy coup on your hands.
And every damn one of them votes Republican.
You damn right.
In a proper world, all this becomes a learning experience to teach everybody why America was supposed to, was designed to be such a great place. It's so that this kind of stuff doesn't work. It's so that you can't put up the cross of a military honor. It's so you can't, you know, get at it. So you can't drag me into your wilderness. But instead, it's just going to be the learning experience of all this ends up being liberals hate Christians. See, told you. Instead of showing everyone how the Constitution is supposed to work, and the reason you can all these nuts run around, the reason we can all America have to tolerate stupid, is because in a weird way, that's the beauty of it. But don't be dragging me down in there.
Yeah, don't want to go.
Well, I don't have to go. You can stay there as long as you want. You can just swallow in there. Oh, Lord. Here's a, what else did I, was thinking about? Oh, here's another good thing. Today, of course, we're talking about, right, we got Afghanistan, healthcare just constantly on everybody's mind. It should be. I think I heard somebody on the radio with this tired old crap again about how President, you know, we're not going to be making any decisions based on public opinion, right? Based on we're not going to be making any decisions based on why we were elected and sent here. You know, we're going to listen to the generals. We're going to weigh everything. We're going to just do it the way, you know, the elite bunch of people in D.C. do it. We're not going to be swayed by any by the public. And
I got a moment. I got a moment for you.
Uh oh.
Get the bell ready.
I almost rang it.
Mandrake. Clemenceau said war is too important to be left to the generals. Mandrake, I say war is too important to be left to the politicians. Isn't that where we are?
It is where we are. Well, it's where we are to lead us to the huge one, at least for me. And the huge one was, then why the F are you there if it isn't to do what the public wants you to do? And I know I must seem like an appallingly naive person to say that, but of all the elections I can think of, this one was clear. This one had a clear, to me, mandate. They all know what we wanted. They all know the changes we wanted. I mean,
it's not like it was vague.
No. I mean, exactly. If you're not going to be making decisions based on 85% of America wants Medicare for all, so you're not going to be making decisions based on that. You're making decisions based on the $20 million that the lobbyists are coming up with. Well, then get the hell out of there. Then I'm done with it. And I don't know what more. I was just sitting there thinking, it's like, then why are you, what do you think your purpose is? I mean, literally, if we wanted to say, I mean, of course, the Supreme Court and the Constitution are there to watch out for craziness, like, you know, okay, on Thursday, everybody has to wear hats. That's the new law. Everybody's got to wear hats. Otherwise, you're looking at 5 years in jail and $20,000 fine. Well, they're probably going to call that unconstitutional, you think? But everybody wants out of Afghanistan. Everybody wants health care reform.
I mean, Jesus, even George Will wants out of Afghanistan.
I know. I mean, what do you...
Granted, he wants out of Afghanistan so he can start calling Barack Obama the guy who lost Afghanistan, but George Will wants out of Afghanistan.
I think they're going to call him that anyway.
Yes! Oh, get the bell!
I'm ready. Hello.
If the blind sheikh and his deaf Taliban buddy come up and sign surrender documents and we leave absolutely festooned with laurels or whatever it is they grow in Afghanistan, the Republican Party will still scream that one lost the war.
All the more reason to jettison these people while you have the monopoly.
You know, what Alan Grayson said is true. If Barack Obama had a BLT for lunch, the Republican Party would move to outlaw bacon.
There's a few of them in there that have a spine and a sense of humor. But, yeah, I mean, you listen to generals. Generals want to shoot things. I mean, you listen,
they're in the shooting things business.
Of course. And sometimes...
There's nothing more useless than an army at peace. That's part of why the framers of the Constitution didn't include a standing army in the... but never mind.
No, I'm quite that, of course. But see, all these things can be learning experiences. We can go back to that. And I don't even know what's happened to that. But, ultimately, you know, if this is what we want, then you have to do it. I mean, how many times do you wish, God, you wish for all branches of the government to be a monopoly? I don't know why which is the whole thing, why the Republicans are bitching so much. Didn't they have a monopoly for 6 years, possibly eight?
Yeah, that they did.
Why are they bitching? Didn't they get enough shit done?
No, they just don't think that anybody else needs one. Because as they have told us time and time again, like that stupid little right-wing video that I referenced, it's their country. And they will do for us as they deem we need it. I mean, it's the very heart and soul. That kind of hubris is the very heart and soul of the definition of oligarchy, plutocracy, and while we're at it, fascism.
Well, it sure makes them easy to, easy to deal with when you think about it. They are upfront, and they're not mysterious. It's very clear about what they want to do and who they hate and who they're going to stomp on to get it. I mean, what is Obama going to do? In 30 years, he's going to go, my legacy was that, boy, Obama, he really, really tried to work both sides of the aisle. Let's compare that to, and Obama just jammed through what ended up saving America.
And we go back to that Neil Gabler column of a couple of months ago and the fact that the only time that crises have been appropriately responded to in this country, the really serious ones, is when you've got a strong president who has a strong majority of his own party in both houses of Congress, and they work in concert to deal with the crisis. We don't have that right now. We have Democrat mugwumps in the Senate who have been driven rightward by the relentless rightward pull of the right wing media, the right wing foundations, everything right wing, so that if you're
driven that way because of the pull of the money.
Well, it's the pull of the money, but there's a hell of a lot of ideology mixed in with that money, Reverbo. I mean, let's say you want to be a Democratic member of the House, because, in the Senate, please. Well, let's say you want to be a Democratic member of the House from Alabama. Well, you are going to have to bust your hump. And I saw it happen because I follow politics from my home district. You are going to have to bust your hump to convince all those church people.
Yeah.
That you're a family values conservative, even though you're a Democrat.
All right, fair enough. There's some details they got to work.
So Blanche Lincoln can sit there in Arkansas, and David Pryor can sit there in Arkansas and call themselves Democrats and vote like Republicans.
Well, good Lord, they're easy to manipulate. That shouldn't be hard to do.
What Alan Grayson, said about Olympia Snow holding up health care for 6 months was true. But it's equally true to say that about what Blanche Lincoln has done to the Employee Free Choice Act, which takes us back to the nature of your labor assertion from the beginning. That one woman who calls herself a Democrat did more than anybody else to stop the Employee Free Choice Act in its tracks, Reverbo. And she did it because she doesn't represent Arkansas. She represents a very tiny chunk of Arkansas in a very tiny Arkansas county, and the name of the community is Bentonville, and what's in Bentonville is the worldwide headquarters of Wally World. And that is who Blanche Lincoln represents. There is not a little, somewhere in Arkansas right now, there's a little bitty baby Arkansan being born. And that little bitty baby Arkansan is not represented, Democrat or Republican, independent, anarcho-syndicalist, I care not. That little bitty baby Arkansan is not represented by Blanche Lincoln because she devotes the entirety of her efforts to representing Walmart.
I never thought it would be under Obama's presidency that this would become so clear. But it's never been more clear that our government and our laws are for sale. That is sad.
And it's clear to us because we are watching our own being bought. Or the ones that are supposed to be our own. Don't get me started on Ben Nelson. Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who's, Nebraska Democratic Party, passed their party platform last week, and it includes a strong and clear call for a public option. And Ben Nelson, Dino, has said that he's not even sure he wouldn't support a filibuster of a public option bill in the Senate. And he calls himself a Democrat. And Harry Reid won't grab him by the ear and pull him over behind one of those majestic statues in the Capitol building and say, listen here, Buster. Not only will there not be any more fire trucks headed to Nebraska on some earmark, by God, there won't be tires for the ones you've got now. Now, you come to the foot of the cross, son.
Don't give me Harry Reid. What the hell is he doing there?
But, you know, oh,
God. I'm just getting really annoyed here. When we need all hands on deck and we...
You mean give them... give them heck, Harry?
Give them heck, Harry. Well, what? Are those...
Magic underwear, Harry?
Are those U.S. attorneys that Bush appointed? Are they still there?
Yeah, they are.
Aren't you supposed to... I know this is kind of an honorary thing. Or aren't you supposed to turn in your resume and your resignation?
Or, you know, the president's okay with firing you. And you're not supposed to be surprised when that happens because it was a partisan appointment in the first place. But last I checked, the hacks that prosecuted the Don Siegelman in Alabama are still on the job.
I mean, I know that the reason I guess we still give them a pass is because of the ungodly mess he inherited.
Give him a pass because he's not them.
And he's not them. But
I mean, there is no universe you can argue, no hypothetical world you can argue where anything that's going on now is any worse than what it would be under President Grumpy McGrumpy Cancer Face.
I used to work for a DA, and even at the DA's office, it was sort of required that when we got a new elected official, that the deputy DAs, the attorneys, would be on the new DA's desk would be every attorney prosecutor's resume and resignation letter. I mean, it's all built in. These guys know it's only a temporary appointment, if, you know, as long as you don't want to keep them.
Well, you can't. I mean,
that's what he needed to do. And he still hasn't done it. And like you say, like, gee, I give up. It's politics about backroom deals. Harry needs to grab them and stick them in a closet and read them the freaking Riot Act. But,
I know. Well, I don't know.
I got something coming to end my call with.
Okie doke.
I found that I know my cell phones just suck, and it's something I want to read, if that's okay.
Okay.
But, it's not very long. And it's not happy. It's not a happy thought.
Shall I get the razor blades?
No, but it was by someone way you could tie both of us together and we can't even come close. We can't even carry these guys.
Hey, Agnes, go crank the truck and run the garden hose in.
Anyway, I decided it was high time I read Heart of Darkness. See the movie, read the book. And obviously, for the listeners who aren't aware of this, yes, Apocalypse Now is based on Joseph
Conrad's Heart of Darkness. Yes.
Now, not as if it couldn't stand on its own; it needed that explanation. And so, I guess to just really the prelude to this is, you know, it's just got the whole faith in your fellow man thing going on, and going on with you and me and everybody. It's just a dangerous way to go, right? We're constantly disappointed by our fellow man. But on the other hand, it seems like at one time we were all born, we would just naturally watch each other's backs, we naturally sacrificed for each other, we naturally built communities and had compassion. That's what it means to be human, right? So it's the whole freedom responsibility thing. It's the big picture. It's the whole, hold on a minute, it's the big picture. And I don't know where I stand on this anymore. I have no faith in my fellow man, but, you know, it's such a jaded approach. Anyway, the introduction to this particular edition of Heart of Darkness I had is this fairly long but fascinating, well-written intro by this guy. I mean, there he is. In which he quotes Conrad. He quotes from a letter that Conrad wrote to a friend of his a year before Heart of Darkness was completed. And I just want to read this as food for thought. It's all one. It's a short paragraph. And so Conrad writes, "Not that I think mankind intrinsically bad. It is only silly and cowardly. That in cowardice is every evil, especially that cruelty so characteristic of our civilization. But without it, mankind would vanish. No great matter, truly. But will you persuade humanity to throw away sword and shield? Can you persuade even me, who write these words in the fullness of an irresistible conviction? No. I belong to the wretched gang. We all belong to it. We are born initiated. And succeeding generations clutch the inheritance of fear and brutality without a thought, without a doubt, without compunction, in the name of God." End quote.
Mother. In the name. Right, and you get all that, and then of course he delivers the crushing gut punch in the name of God.
Here it comes. Yeah, when fascism comes, it's carrying a cross and
wrapped in a flag,
waving the flag. Of course, I don't think he actually said that. It doesn't matter. We'll give it to him. It's so great. But yeah, I mean, you read. I don't know what to think. I just don't know what to think anymore. But boy, that Conrad is a beast. Whew.
And just think, he learned English. He writes like that, and he learned English as a second language.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten that he was from wherever,
Poland,
or something. He could write and read three or four languages.
Yeah, and then there's Vladimir Nabokov.
Well, yeah, then there's is that the Brothers Karamazov feller?
No, no, that would be the Lolita feller.
Oh, the Lolita feller.
The little leader feller.
I'm thinking of Dostoevsky.
Yeah, you're Dostoevsky, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that guy can make you want to commit suicide seven different ways every day of the week.
Well, I'm kind of happy I have some Russian in my blood. They're fairly cultured folks in their own way.
Oh, in their own way, and in every way, yeah.
I don't know, yeah. Anyway, there you have it. My call for the evening. I don't know. I just don't know. So many learning opportunities to learn, and so many school.
And so much squandered, Reverbo, so much squandered.
Indeed. Well, hey, don't ever stop making it personal.
It would appear to be that it is profoundly personal. And it stays that way, Reverbo.
Well, you have a good evening, my friend.
I'll try to, and stay off the ledge, will you?
All right, I'll try.
All right.
Later
now. Bye. With the ring of a bell fading into the distance, critic at large, Reverbo, and we continue onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Me?
You.
Oh, good evening, Bob from Saugee, Northern California.
Well, hey, who I got?
Sparky.
Hey, Sparky, what's up, brother?
Oh, you mentioned unions, so you rattled my cage, you know. But you were talking about the jobs. There's good union jobs out there, and there's good training. I mean,
oh, there are magnificent apprenticeship programs. That's the thing. When the union jobs are good jobs, and the problem, look, we solve a whole, and I don't know why, you know, I think we on the horn are the only ones that have ever mentioned this. The Employee Free Choice Act solves a big chunk of the health care crisis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just hope I can get my health care back, being unemployed so long. But I did get a good little stint of work in, and did some work, some overtime in the last couple of weeks, 55 and a half hours each week on a power plant. Or at a power plant, anyway. And they are putting in another gas-fired unit over the winter, so I hope I can get on that, too.
Well, that's good. That's good IBEW work. That's good UA work. That's good carpenters and millwrights work. That's good work.
Mm-hmm. They're already starting to build it. I've been out there, but they're just putting in the HRSA kit, as it's called now, which is they got the gas-fired compressor turbine set, and everything, the generator and of that, they're going to need to use generate electricity because they built the steam-powered plant in 1988, and they've got several. The peaking power plant for the city of Redding is what it is. When the Northwestern power grid goes down on them, and there's not enough power coming out of Shasta Dam or anywhere else, they have to fire these. They light the fuse and get these things going so they can keep up with the power out in the summertime. But they're up to a 135 megawatt capacity now.
That's a good chunk of juice.
Yeah, they've been down because somebody in the original on Unit 5, which is this one they're going to build, they decided to put all these programmable logic controllers in the boiler feed pump building. Well, they're running steam through there, and it got a little hot and made them go squirrely. So they had to move them to another building. So that's what the project I was working on. We had to pull cable in, and then I was working for 2 weeks terminating cabinets with a new PLCs, which is a metal building with two big air conditioners on it so they can run this thing again. But you were talking about the windmills. Asbestos is the one company I think you're thinking of that built the plant.
Was it? Is that what that was?
Yeah, they come to find. I thought they were from Holland.
I could have sworn they were German, but it would not be the first time on this program that I've been wrong.
I posted a link in the chat room. They're the largest builder of windmills in the world. Right now, that I know of. And there's lots of companies that build solar panels, but they've been doing windmills since the 70s.
And, the question remains, why is that being done by, foreign corporations?
Well, they got to jump on us.
Right. Because we weren't thinking about this back when, and I don't mean to just beat on this or anything, but they kind of got the jump on us back when Jimmy Carter was saying, the late 70s energy independence address, the one that reads like prophecy now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one. And that's so frustrating because Sparky, what you're talking about in that context is the direct and proximate results of Republican efforts to maximize profit to their cronies and put party ahead of country. Plain and simple. And it is frustrating as hell. Because, it's not just about the fact that, we got this or we didn't get that. It's about the fact that, God almighty, we got a whole generation of this country turned upside down in the name of making a little tiny handful of people embarrassingly wealthy. And maybe that sounds naive or maybe that sounds simple, but that's what it boils down to. The right-wing for-profit media has done such a magnificent job of trying to paint the Reagan 80s as some good time, when in fact it was nothing but the continued downward spiral, sickening race to the bottom for American workers.
We had to do givebacks in the 80s.
Sure, because Ronald Reagan wanted workers worse off, and then had the gall in 1984 to run an ad that says, well, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Of course we weren't. But try telling that to one of the... Well, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You lived through it. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and now it's... our wages are pretty high. I won't say how much they are. But they're pretty high, but we... Every time we go to bargaining, we have to give up wage increases for health care now.
Right.
And because we have a, what you call a dollar bank now. You pay in, you work so many hours, you pay in the dollars every hour, and then every month they take the premium out of your dollar bank to pay for your health insurance. And when your dollar bank goes down to where mine was after not working for 7 months, guess what? No health insurance.
Until you get sufficiently bought back in, right?
Yeah. No, I only got a couple of months work, and so I don't know if it's going to happen for now. But that's why I'm hoping I can get on one power plant project that they're going.
Yeah, because the whole trick is to keep working.
Yeah, because I worked for 2002 pretty much straight on all the time until my company just couldn't find any work anymore. And then they had to lay me off. Because I was a brainiac person, I wasn't a young person anymore, and I ran work. And they could keep, you know, there's certain things I can't do anymore because I'm so old. I'm 58, and my back, I got back problems, knee problems. The only thing I'm good for is to run work, basically. You get between a rock and a hard place.
And see, that's why I was so tickled a couple of, a month or so ago when Tom Hartman came out and asked the question, never mind talking about, extending, pulling Social Security back, you know, to like a 70 retirement age or something. We ought to be having a meaningful conversation about why the retirement age isn't 55 instead of 65.
I was listening to him at the time.
And it's something that I've argued, you know, going back to the terrestrial radio days in Beckley.
Because right now there's pension programs I can't, there's one through the IBEW I can draw at 60, but my other pension program that I had when we had our own local here, I can't draw until I'm 62, Social Security, and then the IO pension, I don't know if there's, we pay through our dues. I don't know when I can draw that now. I think there's one called National Electric Benefit Fund that A members, which I'm an A member, can draw from. But working at the power plant, I was talking to the plant manager there, and he says, we need instrument tech. We need this is the future. I mean, there's people. The younger people don't want to do these construction jobs, do these jobs anymore, it doesn't seem like.
Why? I mean, I know that's a broad question, but why? It's good.
They want to play. Have you heard of helmets for the hard hats?
Yes, we've got it here in West Virginia.
Yeah, that's a good program.
It's a great program. It predicates taking returning veterans and putting them into union apprenticeship programs. Isn't that it?
Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, I got out of the Air Force. I was an aircraft electrician, so I went into being an electrician, got good training, got good education. It's hard right now because there isn't a lot of construction work going on, but it's starting to come back. You can see it.
Well, and that's where the idea of the stimulus comes in. Those government construction projects have to be done according to prevailing wage.
Well, I was on one for over a month.
Right. And
the EPA project I told you about.
Yeah, and that's good for working people. You know, that buys tires and refrigerators and pays power bills and buys gasoline and all that stuff that our betters want us to be out there doing. And yet the right wing still screams
doctor visits to get your knee injected.
Yeah, and yet somehow or another, you know, because Barack Obama did it, it was a bad thing. Which I think plays directly into, you know, Alan Grayson's assertion that I mentioned in talking with Reverbo.
Do you go to his YouTube channel?
No, not Alan Grayson's. No.
No. Well, he had a good town hall meeting last night, and I go there every day or two now to just see what's going on because I think he's so awesome. And there's usually a new video there. I mean, there was a video of him talking to the Florida Democrats over the weekend, and then he had a town hall meeting. check it out?
I very well may. Well, Sparky, good to hear from you, brother, and we will talk soon, okay? I'm going to try to get to a couple more of these blinking lights so I don't wind up with six at the end of the night and get myself another email.
Okay, good.
All right.
See ya.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Good union man. That's Sparky calling from California. And rolling onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
How you doing?
Is this Cossack?
It sure is.
How you doing? What's up?
Not much. You heard about the stab in the back that AHIP gave to Baucus, right?
No.
Now they're militating violently against the Finance Committee bill as much as they were militating for it before, because suddenly they're cutting back on the fines that they're going to levy on people if they don't get the mandatory health insurance from the health insurance industry. We can't have that.
Oh, no, we got to make sure that we crack the whip hard over those working people. Sure.
Yeah, even people that can't afford it. I mean, what kind of insanity is this, Bob? It's not like, okay, fine, I can understand why you have to have insurance if you drive a car. But you, in many areas, not to drive a car. You can't choose not to have medical care if you're ill.
That's very true.
You know, it's not a matter of choice at all.
And
anybody.
And frankly, if you're going to, well, I can't imagine making something compulsory that isn't public. And if it's public, it doesn't need to drain anyone's wallet.
Correct. They do that with auto insurance.
Sure.
I mean, you can get, what is it, SR-22, which is kind of a public option, sort of, if you're a high-risk driver.
Right, right. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
Right, but that's kind of not the same, and it's very expensive. Kind of a penalty for being an idiot driver.
Right.
The problem of it is, you cannot...
Yeah, it's a matter of saying you don't have any business driving, but if you insist, here's the price you're going to pay.
Correct. Whereas, there's nothing you can do about your genes. I mean, you can argue with your parents about it if they're still around, but...
But it's not going to change anything.
No. You still have genetic predispositions towards certain conditions. What do you do about that? We jack the price up on you.
Here's a Laurel and Hardy handshake.
God. I mean, Bob, those nut jobs that were in D.C. on 9/12, they were screaming about socialist medical care.
Yeah, right.
How many of them have actually experienced socialized medical care? One-tenth of 1%, maybe?
I would guess that it's not even that high.
Yeah. I've had socialized medical care in Europe and in Canada, and I would sell my soul for that right now. You know, you walk in a medical establishment, they take care of you, they fix you, and you walk out. And no bills.
Yeah, you gotta love that part.
You don't have 10,000 people hounding you. How are you supposed to recuperate when you have bill collectors constantly haranguing you?
Stress bad.
Yeah. You know, why do you think so many people delay so long before they go to seek medical care? Because they don't want to put up with this. They would rather die from their condition than have to put up with this. What does that tell you?
Or they're engaging in, you know, miracle thinking, magic thinking, and thinking, well, you know, it's probably not that. That's not that. I don't need that. I just need a rest.
Yeah.
Gotta go to work.
But, you know, they keep on putting it off because they try desperately to burdening themselves and their families with this crap. And if they die, they die.
Yeah.
That's how much we care about people, Bob. We don't care if you die.
We don't. No. Yeah, I know.
I mean, they're telling you that in West Virginia very, very obviously. We prefer the money. We don't care if you die.
Look, the guy who runs Walker Caterpillar company in West Virginia, during that march that I mentioned earlier in the program, Cossack, a couple of kids shinnied up onto the Walker Cat's building because it's Walker Cat that has those hateful billboards, one of which will pop up, a picture of which will pop up in the chat room the minute that this gets over the stream. This is Yes Coal, Clean Carbon Neutral Coal. And so they unfurled a banner that said, Yes, coal is killing West Virginia communities.
Uh-huh.
Well, Steve Walker immediately had them arrested, prosecuted, and he's going to try to get them charged with felonies. And he said, there's no difference between these young people doing this and suicide bombers in the Middle East. You know, that stupid, arrogant bastard.
Oh, another thing, a little bit off topic, but to bring it up. Do you realize that you're in possession of a criminal instrument?
Which one?
Your cell phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You heard about the guy that got arrested by the FBI in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, God, yeah, for calling, yeah.
Because he was tweeting?
Yeah.
And one of the charges...
He was tweeting with intent.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, he was... Directing anarchists. Excuse me, have you ever tried to direct an anarchist?
Well, isn't that a contradiction in terms? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's like herding cats. Hello? It doesn't work. They don't take direction real well. That's why they're anarchists.
Just hilarious. Hilarious.
I mean, it's insane. You know, being in possession of a cell phone means that you're potentially a criminal. How
amazing.
Insane is this?
It's crazy, crazy. Hey, Cossack, I'm going to try to wedge one more call in, brother. Good hearing from you. Thanks for being patient and waiting.
No problem.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and... All right, well, everybody gave up. And timely, too, because it's a little less than 2 minutes before the hour. A last reminder, please help us stay in first place if, in fact, we still are. Let's check real quick. Yes, 2,642 votes to 2,528. You guys got on it. Keep getting after it, please. If you're listening to this after the Malloy Show on the rerun, brighterplanet.com, there's still a chance for you to do something great. Help us get a $5,000 grant for the coal, Sustainable Energy and Economic Diversification in the Coal River Valley Project. First place right now. Voting ends on October the 15th. Tell your friends and neighbors. We're a little over 100 votes ahead. Let's make it 200 votes ahead. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be awesome. Help make something good happen in southern West Virginia. Doesn't cost you a dime. If you do have a dime laying around, however, or several of them, you can always hit the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com. Or you can use the address available at headonradionetwork.com, the Beckley Snail Mail address, and help keep us going. We're going to make it past October the 21st. Now we got to try to get to November the 30th by making our monthly nut, so to speak. Thanks to everybody who helps make all of this happen, all the volunteers, from the folks behind the mic. To the folks behind the chat room, to the folks behind the website, our news ninjas, our blogger, in the chat room, that's Gene and Susan, and then Sue in the chat room, Lottie in the chat room, Texas Betsy, blogger, John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch, Guy James looks to be, coming back, I guess, now, Tuesday. And he will be absolutely on fire when he does. He is, he's right ready to get back behind the microphone just any old time. But he will be able to be back on Tuesday. Cross your fingers.
Thanks again, and I will let you know as soon as I know, which would be tomorrow's show, how things went down in Charleston this evening, as our good friends, the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks from Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColRiverWind.org, went down to speak truth to power amidst the howls and the cries and the threats of the coal mob. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hey, and good evening. Welcome to this Tuesday evening edition of The Horn. I am Bob. Just Bob. Not Mr. Kincaid, just old Bob. Just old Bob here in the hills and hollers. We're friends. No Mr. Kincaid, please. Interesting day today. Let's see, a couple of program notes. Let's get started with those and get those out of the way. I expect it's entirely possible and highly likely that Guy James will be back tomorrow. The issues that were keeping him off air, I think, have been resolved. And hopefully he will be back tomorrow and Thursday. And if not tomorrow, then certainly Thursday. So cross your fingers on that front. Secondly, it doesn't look like Ferg will be playing ball Thursday. I think his season may be pretty well over. So that means I'll likely be behind this microphone come Thursday evening. But there's a slight chance I won't be if he is cleared to play. Last game of the season, kind of want to see that, want him to be able to play in it. Tough run of luck. Started out with a possible broken elbow in the season and winded up with either the flu or mono or they're not quite sure what. Welcome to American healthcare, the land of we're not quite sure. But at any rate, there will definitely not be a show on Friday. Friday, I'm on the road. I've been invited to come down and speak at one of the Power Shift conferences, this particular one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I will be speaking down there talking about what mountaintop removal does to communities, individuals, all of us. I'll be down there doing that, so I will be on the road on Friday. You know what? Depending on when I leave here, I've never driven to Chapel Hill. I don't know how long that schlep is. But it's entirely possible that I could get out of here early enough to maybe be in the hotel room Friday evening and take the gig rig with me and, who knows, crank it up and do one. It's possible. It could happen. No, really, it could happen. So we'll see. We'll just see how that one goes. But that gives us at least tonight and tomorrow night, and probably Thursday night, So let's get lots of good conversation in. Let me address something real quick. I had a complaint last night about the way we do business here. And it was someone who sat on hold for a while and then hung up and then wrote to tell me about it. There are limitations here in this studio. One of which is that, you know, we started this whole thing out and Agnes produced and I yammered. And she answered the phones and all that stuff at the same time. But she went back, my lovely darling wife went back into the mommy mode because it was very much needed. And that left me here to take the calls, carry on the, and you know, basically produce and do it. This is not me. No, I am not crawling up on the cross. It is simply how things work here. Now, I know, and last night at one point in time, we had all six lines lit up. That is not unusual anymore. God, I can remember a time back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio when you'd sit there and just try to will one of the lights on the phone to light up. And if it did, you were just praying it wasn't some ignorant wingnut trying to spread his wingnut garbage. Because, you know, one of the things about terrestrial talk radio is the fact that unless it's somewhere in civilization like Green 960 in San Francisco or KPOJ in Portland and a small handful of others, there really hasn't been a determined presence in the terrestrial market where liberals, progressives, decent human beings, in other words, had a chance to talk about issues without being screamed down by some nutbag with the morning's talking points from the Republican National Committee. So generally, it is not unusual to see someone start into terrestrial radio and find themselves having to deal with wingnuts. And so, yeah, I would sit there and watch, and you know, it would. And truth be told, never really had much trouble getting calls, even in those early days. But at any given time, it would be some wingnut. And frankly, I don't want to waste my time on them. I don't have time for them. They are at the very least an annoyance, and and moreover a waste of my energies, my oxygen, my brain cells. But anyway, we have gotten to the point where it is not unusual to see all the lines lighted up. Now, right now, there's one line lighted up. That leaves five for the rest of you. But the complaint was that, well, yeah, no, I know, Bob, you call it conversation radio, but nobody wants to wait. So, in other words, I guess what we're saying is that, well, here, let me see if I can dig this thing up. Because better than paraphrasing is the real thing at any given time. It's down here somewhere. Takes me just a minute. You should see that, God, the email that comes in. Here it is. The complaint being